Donald Trump's border czar, Tom Homan, flew into Minneapolis and said yesterday,
I don't want to see anybody die. Not officers, not members of the community, and not the targets of our operations.
But never mind tariffs, Greenland, or even the biggest, most beautiful ballroom on the planet, is the events in Minneapolis actually starting to do the undoing of Donald Trump? In other news, the world-famous Great Ormond Street Hospital, but a doctor who botched surgery, harming nearly 100 children. Lizzie Roberts' son Tate was operated on by Yazza Jabba.
He's a young man and he should be kind of living life to the full. And, you know, he's had to pull out of college, had to withdraw from college because he knew he needed more surgery.
The bus driver sacked for getting back jewellery from a passenger. He phoned into LBC, Mark Hehare.
Any guy in particular that's going to rob a person is not going to come back 2 minutes later, apologise to the girl for robbing it.
Plus, no real Chinese takeaway for Keir Starmer in Beijing. News on LBC is next.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, President Trump has claimed it would be dangerous for the UK to do more business with China. So Keir Starmer's currently in the country to strengthen economic ties with Beijing. It's understood Downing Street made Washington aware of the trip and its objectives in advance. Addressing business leaders overnight, Keir said he held very good meetings with his Chinese counterparts yesterday.
The UK has got a huge amount to offer, and I was able to set that out. And as a result of our engagement, we've halved tariffs on whiskey and also got visa-free travel to China for Brits. So really important access, symbolic of what we're doing with the relationship.
Ukraine appears to have had a quieter night after President Trump said Vladimir Putin agreed to pause airstrikes for a week. The US president said he personally asked Vladimir Putin to stop attacks on Ukraine during extreme cold weather. The Kremlin hasn't commented. The Foreign Office says it is supporting the family of a British girl who's missing from a beach in Morocco. It's understood the seven-year-old was swept away by a wave while sitting with her parents on rocks in Casablanca on Wednesday. The Conservatives have called on the government to move and prescribe Iran's Revolutionary Guards as a terrorist organisation. Ministers announced last May that powers would be created to ban organisations if they're deemed to pose a threat to Britain. Yesterday, the European Union added the IRGC to its terror list because of the country's violent attacks on anti-government protesters. LBC understands the Treasury considered plans to end free entry to museums and galleries for international visitors. The proposals were weighed up as part of spending cuts in November's budget. The idea was eventually scrapped after pushback from culture ministers. LBC's deputy political editor, Aggie Chambray, has more details.
Three senior Labour sources have confirmed to us this was very much a live discussion during budget negotiations. We don't know exactly how much this would have saved, but we do know that the 15 national museums and galleries, including the British Museum and the Science Museum that are sponsored by DCMS, they receive £480 million from DCMS a year.
And millions of low-income families will continue to receive the Warm Home Discount for the rest of the decade. The government has agreed to extend the £150 off energy bills every winter until 2031. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen later at 10,171. It closed up 17 yesterday. The pound buys $1.37 and €1.15. LBC weather, cloudy for most with patchy rain and hill snow in the north. Heavy rain and strong winds for the south and west. A high of 11 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Subway knows you love a good deal. So say hello to Sub Yay. Weekly deals that will make you go, yay. Like money off your fave subs and spuds, getting bonus points on your order, or free upgrades to a meal deal. That's Sub Yay. Get all the best offers exclusively for Subway Rewards members. See the Subway app for specific offer availability and T's and C's.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, 4 minutes after seven, Friday, January the 30th. A tipping point for President Trump. Events in Minneapolis and others, perhaps now, when you look at a poll for Fox News, why do I stress Fox News? Because that's very much a Trump-supporting channel. Nearly 60% of people say it's gone too far. I'll share more details with you on that and ask you the question, is this the Trump tipping point? Those horrific events. in Minneapolis. In other news, back here in the UK, we will talk about WASPI women who would appear to yet again be denied. Angela Madden chairs a campaigning group.
They're a very small group of very powerful people who have decided that the harm and injustice we've suffered doesn't matter.
The world-famous Great Ormond Street Hospital, but with a doctor there whose botched surgery harmed nearly 100 children. How on earth was he able to get away with it? Plus, he survived the horror crash that killed people. Anthony Joshua speaks in this video posted on social media.
We went back home, went to see our families, and everything just got flipped upside on his head.
How did the bus company react with one of their employees after one of his passengers had jewellery stolen from her? He got out of the bus, raced down the street, took the jewellery back. He was then assaulted by the thief, so he knocked him to the ground. How did the bus company respond? The hero got fired. We'll start the campaign to get him back his job, if not take over the company. Plus, as Sir Keir Starmer posts of great advances on his Chinese takeaway, how are Chinese people reacting back here in the UK? Henry Riley, LBC's reporter, went to Chinatown in London.
As the Prime Minister concludes his visit to China, how has it gone down in the hub of the UK's Chinese community? I'm LBC's Henry Riley in London's Chinatown.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
A question for you on this cold and wet Friday morning, the last Friday in January. Is this the Trump tipping point? For every prime minister, for every president, there normally comes an event where the electorate says, up with this, we cannot put. Gordon Brown, do you remember that bigoted woman? From memory, I think her name was Gillian Duffy, but don't quote me, living in Rochdale, when his mic was left what's called hot or live, left mic was left on. Mrs. Thatcher, Margaret Thatcher, probably the poll tax. Tony Blair, I would say, Iraq. It happened. Boris Johnson, well, where do you start? Probably from the day he took office. Liz Truss, one word, budget. There's always a tipping point. So are the horrific events, particularly, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, the latter of the two fatal shootings by ICE agents, that's right, two in the space of a month, actually considerably under a month, is that the tipping point? When I tell you that respondents to a survey done by Fox News, I stress Fox News again, days after the killing, found that almost 60% of respondents believe that ICE had gone too far, the tactics were too much. But if you make halting illegal immigration pretty much the main plank of your electoral pitch, you then fund ICE agents tens of billions of dollars and allow them to dress almost as a paramilitary force, complete with balaclavas, bulletproof vests, guns, sidearms, whatever else, pepper spray. Something's going to go wrong. And if you laud the tactics of effectively dragging people from cars, rounding up children, going into restaurants, dragging people out the door, screaming staff, something's going to go wrong. And it did, fatally. So I'm asking you, is this the Trump tipping point? Or, as one newspaper says, rather more colloquially, has Trump gone bonkers? We'll try and look at it slightly more intellectually than that. But to the most recent events, and for the background, the what's called White House border czar, Tom Homan, has said neither he nor Trump want any more people to die. Well, that's fortunate, isn't it? As ICE agents in Minnesota continue their operations, Trump sent Homan to the state in a bid to quell tensions following the fatal shootings of those ICE protesters that I referenced. He staged a press conference from the city yesterday, and Tom Homan had this message.
I don't want to see anybody die. Not officers, not members of the community, and not the targets of our operations.
And in an apparent swipe at the U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, who has faced criticism for posing for photos with ICE agents, Homan said he was not in the city for photo ops.
I'm not here because the federal government has carried its mission out perfectly. First thing I said to senior staff when I walked in here is what I told you earlier. I didn't come here looking for photo ops or headlines. I come here looking for solutions.
But Homan had this message to those who seek to protest.
You have your First Amendment rights. I support that. You have the right to protest. I'm just asking to keep it peaceful. But threatening law enforcement officers, engaging in impeding and obstruction and assault is never okay. And there will be zero tolerance. You interfere, impede, assault an ICE officer, you will be arrested.
But the red-hot fury towards ICE continues, and now rock star Bruce Springsteen has released this song, Streets of Minneapolis, in support of those who lost their lives.
Now they say they're here to uphold the law, but they trample on our rights. If your skin is black or brown, my friend, you can be questioned or deported on sight.
Let's turn to someone living in Minneapolis. Jean Massey is a resident working in politics and government and elections, lives just one block away from the home of Alex Pretty, of course, the second of those victims, and joins me now. Privileged to have you on. Thank you for staying up late into the night or getting up early in the morning. First question, how would you define or describe the mood of your city right now? Good morning.
Well, first, thanks for having me. Good morning, UK. I've got family in the UK, so happy to say hello to them.
Family. Good to have you on,
Jean. Yeah, thanks. Well, the situation here in Minneapolis remains incredibly intense. You described the situation perfectly well. So while we had what we thought would be maybe a turning point in some ways with getting rid of Bovino and Christy Noem kind of getting removed from the scene, they brought in the border czar himself, Homan, who ordered all these operations in the first place to try to quell the situation. No one has any faith in that. So let me just describe my day today, let alone the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks. I wake up, and sure enough, I'm part of a local chat group ready to respond to ICE activity or to whatever mutual aid needs that there are in the community. And there are whistles blowing two blocks away from me near my own family. And of course, responders don't have the power to intercede in these acts. They only have the power to really witness. But there they had to witness ICE retaining, snatching, capturing yet another one of our community members and taking them away to a detention center. Throughout the day, we hear of similar stories, and I go out to do errands this evening, and down the block, someone's hearing whistles once more. We go to see if there was anything. Nothing, thankfully, was there. And then I'm dropping kids off at soccer practice. And there's a whole community there at the soccer practice facility at the door greeting the soccer players, making sure they're safely coming in. Actually, police making sure the scene is safe. No one is feeling safe right now in the community.
Have you attended any of the protests, and where were you last weekend?
Yeah, so sadly, Alex Pretty, who lived just around the corner from us, when we heard of the news Saturday morning early, my husband and I immediately put on our big coats and boots. It's sub-zero temperatures here in Minnesota. And we went to the scene of the killing. And what we saw and witnessed was the community coming together, a moment of solidarity, witnessing what was happening. And we were surprised to see that rather than law enforcement being on the scene to take care of the crime scene that had happened, it was the federal agents and Border Patrol and ICE still patrolling that area. And they kept coming in waves of people coming in and trucks coming in, and they got very aggressive. And what happened was as the community members got larger, they got more aggressive. And they stormed into the crowd at least three times, tear gassing us and then retreating, tear gassing and retreating. And it was very similar the day after Renee Good was murdered, less than 3 weeks prior, where there was a mass protest at the detention center called the Whipple Building in Minneapolis. And the crowd was coming in, and the Border Patrol agents were getting very aggressive, coming out into the crowd, pepper spraying the crowd, tackling members. It's just a very violent scene.
Jean, I must leave it there. You look after yourself. Thank you so much for staying up and taking this call. Jean Massey, Minneapolis resident who witnessed those events on the weekend, lives just a block away from the home of Alex Priddy. 14 after 7. Let's bring into the conversation Aditya Chakraborty, who's a columnist with The Guardian newspaper journalist, joins me now. Aditya, I'm asking, is this the tipping point? Never mind Greenland, never mind terrorists, never mind the biggest ballroom ever seen on the planet. Could this be the tipping point? Morning to you.
Morning, Nick. I think what you heard from Jean there, who is describing protests taken by neighbours in the face of pepper spray and tear gassing, is an example of people saying no. As you said at the start of this hour, up with this, we will not put, right? This is not who we are. And Rene Good, Alex Priddy, the two people who were executed by the state, 37-year-old, neither of them have been shown to have done anything violent, right? The violence has been brought into that city, Minneapolis, by Trump's own gangsters, the ICE agents. And it's worth just recalling the kind of deals that these ICE agents on. They get up to $50,000 just for signing on. The advertising to recruit ICE agents has been shown time and again to have links with far-right material. And they go in kitted out as if they're going to Helmand province or Basra, right?
Yep,
fully togged up,
yep,
right?
Yep.
And throwing tear gas into primary schools. So there's huge amounts of violence, but it's not on the side of the protesters. Now, what I find, it's an excellent question, Nick, because we've just gone through a year of Trump in which at the top of American society, whether it's business people, financiers, the Democrats, universities, in the face of Trump, they've all folded, right? They've all done deals with the administration.
Yep.
And now you have ordinary people like Jean and her husband, who are actually out there protesting in incredibly harsh both weather, but also in the face of really, really extreme provocation from these guys.
And was this always going to happen, Aditya? If you make controlling what you call illegal immigration, returning criminals to their countries, if you make that effectively a main plank of your campaign, and then, as you rightly pay, you allow people to tool up in the way they do, something is going to go wrong, right?
Something is definitely going to go wrong, but we should also say hats off to the people of Minnesota, because they have shown how to run a protest. Just think about the level of organisation they've shown over the past few weeks, right? Not only going out and protesting inside the Whipple building that Jean mentioned, but also getting food and supplies to people who are locking themselves indoors because they don't want to have to face the ICE agents, making sure that kids can get to school, so they run school escorts. There's a whole civic organisation that has sprung to life in that city.
And I must leave it there. Have a good weekend. Always good speaking. Look after your sport. Aditya Chakraborty is journalist and columnist with The Guardian newspaper. Is this the Trump tipping point? We're late, so let's get to the headlines now. 7:17, LBC News, Dominic Ellis.
President Trump has warned the UK against deepening trade ties with China. A 7-year-old British girl is missing from a beach in Morocco, and millions of low-income families will continue to receive the warm home discount for the rest of the decade. LBC weather, cloudy for most with patchy rain and hill snow in the north, heavy rain and strong winds for the south and west, a high of 11 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. There are delays on the M25 clockwise from junction 30 at the A13 to the QE2 bridge because a car broke down earlier. It's just this moment being recovered, but it's still very slow. Also, there are queues on the A13 westbound to the Wennington interchange, and that was after a lorry broke down earlier, but that's now been recovered. Now, there are problems on the M3 northbound at the M25 junction. A car's just broken down, so one lane is closed, and very busy on the North Circular Road southbound from Staples Corner at the M1 to the Neasden interchange. So emergency works are taking place, so one lane is closed. On the underground, there are minor delays on the Jubilee line, and also there are minor delays on the Elizabeth line from Paddington to Heathrow.
This is LBC.
Tonight's Euro Millions jackpot is £106 million.
It's so exciting, I could do the splits.
Oh, should have stretched first.
Get in tonight's Euro Millions draw. Play on app.
Estimated jackpot. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
I'm Leah, and this is my NHS story. I could just feel my body didn't feel right, and my GP referred me to the CDC. Had some blood tests done, and within 24 hours, I had my results. And that just reassured me that I was being taken seriously.
The government is opening new community diagnostic centres, with many already available 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, so the NHS can be there for all of us when we need it. Find your closest one at gov.uk/NHS Fit for the Future. Available England-wide.
If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, what you thought you were getting may not be what you ended up with. From unexpected site fee increases, running costs, a huge depreciation in value, many owners feel they've been missold. If you think this might be you, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive the compensation you're entitled to. Text ASSIST to 78900 to find out more. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Do you know your state pension age? No. Maybe you're not sure, or you don't know how to check. It's so quick and easy to check online. All you need is your date of birth. Knowing your state pension age helps you think about your future. So check yours today. Search state pension age on gov.uk and simply enter your date of birth. State pension age. It's good to know.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
7:20, quick look at the headlines as we try and get back on the clock. I'm asking, is it Trump's tipping point events in Minneapolis? Now, let's quickly tell you what's on the front page of some of the newspapers. There seems to be, well, I shouldn't say widespread, but there's considerable comment as to what exactly the Prime Minister has achieved with his trip to China. We are going to be speaking with the Trade Minister later in this hour. The Daily Mail simply has three-word headline, is that it? With a photograph of the Prime Minister shaking hands with President Xi in Beijing. The Guardian, a little more positive. Starmer opens door to UK visit by Xi as China relationship is reset. The Financial Times, red carpet, as in red China, red carpet. Starmer works to heal Xi ties. Front page of the Metro, a story that we will be picking up on. Bus snatch hero sacked. Not sure if the word snatch is the right one there, folks. Driver chases raider to retrieve passenger's necklace, then knocks thief out when he returns. It's worth saying that my understanding is that it was the thief who threw the first punch. Clearly the bus driver, former bus driver, is obviously a fairly fit individual. He's hit, so he hits him back and the guy's knocked out. The bus company, Metro Line, decided to sack him. Extraordinary. He phoned into LBC's Tom Sorbit yesterday, and we'll have full coverage of that story a little bit later. And one other front page at random. Let's give you the Daily Mirror. We're going to give you the Daily Mirror here. Anthony Joshua, the boxer, fought back tears as he prayed tribute to his two friends killed in a car crash, saying, "They're my brothers, my friends. We will bring you." It's very moving a video, and we'll bring you some of that later in the show. Quickly to the front page of the LBC app. That is of the visit by Sir Keir Starmer to China as well. Right. Is this the Trump tipping point? Charlie in East Tilbury. Charlie, you're on the radio. Morning.
Morning, Nick. Don't know if it's his tipping point, because unfortunately MAGA and his base will follow him off a ledge.
Do you reckon? But I will... Why would Fox News, 59% of respondents to a poll say he's gone too far? I find that quite telling, Fox News.
Yes, but still, if you watch, and I try not to watch Fox, if you watch them, there is maybe one of the reporters that will actually try to stay away from acting everything Trump does, and even that reporter gets knocked down by the rest of them. I think there are people changing, but it's not in his base. If you look at social media, you look at any of them, the base, they just are blindly walking down a path, and they don't see history at all.
But are they blindly? We've just spoken to someone who told us what those protests are like in Minneapolis. I will reference again.
I speak to friends back in America all the time.
Which part of the states are you from, Charlie?
New Jersey. Which is a Democrat state, and all my friends are diehard MAGA. I don't understand it. I can't explain it. But if you look at Obama's immigration policy, which he deported more people than Trump has, he did not have the chaos of Trump. And in 8 years, I believe it was somewhere around 70 people died in custody. Trump, in just this year, has had, I believe, 45 to 50 people die in 1 year, and has caused chaos, and has killed Americans, and has arrested Americans, deported a few Americans.
So lastly, it's not the tipping point as you see it, Charlie. It's always been. 'Twas ever thus, as we say over here.
I think it's going to get worse. I can't see it getting better. I'm worried that we're not going to see July 4th, 250th anniversary, more July 4th Civil War.
Well, I sincerely hope you're wrong with that prediction, but Charlie, I've enjoyed speaking to you. Best wishes to you and, of course, to your family back in Jersey, back in New Jersey. Alex in Lewisham. Alex, I've talked about tipping points for Gordon Brown, tipping points for Mrs. Thatcher with poll tax. Is this a tipping point for Donald Trump? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. Yeah, I think it is. I think we've seen the limit of where this sort of mini-authoritarianism, mini-fascist regime can go within the realms of reality. So the next term for him is to go completely over the top and just completely ignore what the law says and go even further. Or, as he has done, row back, bring in Tom Homan, ramp down the rhetoric. But I think he's going to get absolutely crucified in the midterms if they go ahead as planned. Mm-hmm. And I think once that happens, he's a lame duck president. And that's the end of this complete circus.
So he's got till November, effectively.
He's got to November, but I think they're going to have to ramp down the ice on the streets, which is what they're now doing. And I think that it's just lame duck presidency from here on in. There's nothing else that can be done now. They've killed, executed two people on the streets. They've taken Bovino away from this. Miller's been ostracized. Kristi Noem's been ostracized. So this is, and if Fox News, as you said, polling 60%, disapproval at this, then that's the kind of message that he needs.
When do you, lastly, you referenced, do you think the and it's very difficult to look into the mind of Donald J. Trump, do you think the president's aware of the perilous position he put himself in?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think he gave Stephen Miller too much power, and Stephen Miller, and it's exploded in their faces, and I think that now he's got to row back.
And that's what we're possibly seeing on the streets. Alex, thank you. We'll take more calls and more views on that in a moment. Let's come to events here in the UK, and a teenager has admitted the random murder of a 12-year-old who was walking home from school. The 15-year-old killer stabbed his victim once in the stomach, then called police, claiming he'd found the body. He took such pleasure in his crime in a Birmingham park that he stayed to watch as paramedics tried in vain to save his life. Here with full details, LBC's reporter Luke Shanahan. Luke, morning.
Nick, good morning. Leo Ross was a normal 12-year-old boy trying to get home from school as normal. But thanks to a complete stranger with a knife and a mystery motive we can only guess at, Leo never made it. He was making the 10-minute walk, just 10 minutes, through Tritterford Mill Park in Hall Green on the 21st of January last year, when he was stabbed in the stomach and then found badly hurt at around 3:40 p.m. before passing away in hospital. Detective Inspector Joe Davenport told LBC the 15-year-old boy who attacked Leo had already attacked three elderly people in the same park before stabbing Leo.
He didn't explain why he'd done what he'd done, and now he's pleading guilty. He won't be examined in court, so we may never get an explanation from him as to why he carried out these crimes. He was 14 at the time he carried out these crimes, and he's 15 now. He doesn't know Leo. He doesn't know any of the other victims. He made no effort to try and rob them. There appears to be no other motivation for the attack other than a need to carry out acts of violence and to enjoy watching the chaos unfold afterwards.
When police arrived at the scene of the stabbing, the 15-year-old boy was still there, pretending to be a witness who'd found Leo hurt. He was filmed by an officer's body-worn camera, and his voice has been changed for legal reasons.
I was probably here around about 3. He was laying there like that when I got here, and that's all I know about it.
Leo's been called a lovely boy who was the light of his family, and a wall where tributes were left at the scene on Scriber's Lane has since been painted with a huge mural of Leo's face and his name written big. His killer appeared in court yesterday afternoon, Nick, with a grey jumper hung over his shoulders, speaking only to confirm his name and to enter pleas to 7 charges. He admitted Leo Ross's murder, the 3 assaults on those elderly people, and having a knife in a public place, but he denied committing 2 assaults which allegedly happened at the end of 2024. And that teenager will be sentenced on the 10th of February, Nick.
Luke Shanahan reporting 729. Let's go to social media. I'm asking you, are the horrific events in Minneapolis the so-called tipping point? James says, while I appreciate it's not like public hangings, it feels there are similarities with ICE and the Iranian regime. Oh, executing people in the streets. Matt in Sidcup, Trump has gone too far numerous times and got away with it. I hope this time the rest of the media finds some courage and put an end to the charade. It's now getting boring. The world needs to move on without him dominating every second of everything. We'll come back to that conversation, but there are other stories. And of course, Sir Keir Starmer hailing what has been achieved with his 5,000-mile journey to Beijing. But what about back home? What do Chinese people make of it here in the UK? Henry Riley, LBC's reporter, went out to find out.
As the Prime Minister concludes his visit to China, how has it gone down in the hub of the UK's Chinese community? I'm LBC's Henry Riley in London's Chinatown.
And as we come to the end of January, yes, that's January done, folks. Valentine's Day is just around the corner, so love is in the air.
Diamonds are forever. Hold one up and then caress.
You will not believe the price of a, quote, diamond engagement ring you can get on the shelves at Asda. When I was told the price, I said, you're having a laugh. You are not going to believe it. Diamonds are forever. Diamonds are for, well, I'll tell you the price in a moment. 7:30, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, on LBC, the news, Dominic Ellis.
President Trump has claimed it would be dangerous for the UK to do more business with China. Sir Keir Starmer's currently in the country to strengthen economic ties with Beijing. 7-year-old British girl is missing after being swept out to sea while on holiday in Morocco. It's understood she was sitting on rocks with her parents in Casablanca when she was hit by a large wave on Wednesday. And millions of low-income families will receive the government's warm home discount for the rest of the decade. The £150 rebate on energy bills will continue every winter. LBC weather, cloudy for most with patchy rain and hill snow in the north. Heavy rain and strong winds for the south and west, a high of 11 degrees.
On the latest episode of The Newsagents.
Lewis and Emily are in Minneapolis, the city where ICE raids have been going on for the past week, leaving the city a tinderbox of tension. A special report from there on the latest episode of The Newsagents.
Get the latest episode of The Newsagents with Emily Maitlis, John Sopel and Lewis Goodall. Listen or watch on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
I found all my favourite brands in one place.
It's a perfect day to find what you're looking for at Bicester Village.
I found the magic of Bicester Village.
I found the perfect piece and the perfect price.
It's just a short drive away and you'll find every day feels like a sale. Bicester Village. What will you find?
When an offender is released, the probation service keeps them on track so they can find a place to live, which gives them the stability to say no to old habits, making them more likely to attend their supervision meetings. And all of that ripples out to make the community a better place to live. Hello, mate. Search probation service jobs to find out more. An extraordinary job done by someone like you.
Yeah, I'm one of their biggest fans. I've got all the vinyl. First saw them at a tiny little place in Camden. Then as festival headliners a few years back. Oh, now that was special. So there's no chance I'd miss their world tour. In London, Lisbon and LA. Good thing I've been saving.
From down the road to across the globe, saving gets you there. Join the millions of people already saving with NS&I.
Woo!
Visit nsandi.com.
We're a nation mad about pets. We bake birthday cakes for cats. Let dogs share our beds. And even get tattoos of ferrets. Yes, ferrets. Now that's love. You do anything and everything for your pets. And at Pets at Home, so do we. Whether it's expert advice, veterinary care, or grooming, more people trust us with their pets than anyone else. We're all for pets. To verify, visit petsathome.com/allforpets.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
7:33, Trump's tipping point with ICE. We'll look at that and more of your reaction in a moment. Into the world of business now. Christian May, editor-in-chief at City AM, and we're talking Donald Trump as well with Christian, but also more really this deal or deals that have been done by Sir Keir Starmer and trade in China. But Donald Trump has a different view. Christian will explain. Morning, Christian.
Good morning to you, Nick. Yes, we know that Donald Trump was furious with Mark Carney for jetting to China. That's Canada's prime minister, who went over there and struck a series of little deals and said it was part of the New World Order. Donald Trump didn't like that at all and said that China would devour Canada and threatened tariffs on Canada for having the temerity to go off and seek these arrangements. Might we see a similar reaction to Keir Starmer's trip to China? He's in the middle of it now. Overnight, Donald Trump said that it was dangerous for the UK to be cozying up or trying to improve relations with China. He didn't give much more details than that. He was asked what he thought of it, and he said it was a dangerous thing to do. Well, let's just look at what Keir Starmer might come home with. Appreciate he's got another day or so there, and he might unveil some more deals. Better hope so, because pretty thin gruel otherwise. Mm. Politically, the Prime Minister's aides reported throughout the papers this morning appear to be delighted with how well it's gone. Better than they could have imagined, they say. I mean, I think they just like being at, you know, the big table, frankly. And there were plenty of big tables and big banquets. What have they actually got? Well, some sort of agreement that Chinese customs officials are going to clamp down on small boat engines emanating from Chinese ports. And if that stops a single crossing, I'll sell you a beach. They've also arranged that people will be able to visit China for 30 days without a visa. I'm not sure I'll be taking them up on that. I've written one or two spicy columns about the Chinese government, so I don't think I'll be going there for my Easter holiday. But nevertheless, businesses would welcome that. And the Prime Minister took the chief executives of a handful of companies. We spoke to about 35 of the 50 chief execs and businesses, rather, who were on that trip, businesses and cultural organisations. All but four declined to comment when we asked them what they were doing there and what they hoped to get out of it. Those that did speak up were largely based in the city and said, this is good for global market access, this is what we're all about. So the city was reasonably confident, but not many other people wanted to talk about it. Of course, he did get a small reduction in the tariffs on Scottish whisky. And one curious point to consider, people who really do analyse this sort of thing, people are making a comparison with the Prime Minister's tour of the Forbidden City with that of President Trump and President Macron, both of whom received a VIP treatment and all the public were cleared out of that site, whereas the Prime Minister was simply allowed to wander around it with a tour guide surrounded by anyone else who wanted to visit. So some people are saying that was a bit of a, these things don't happen by accident, and that it was a bit of a snub. But the Prime Minister is absolutely thrilled to be out there, and I'm sure we'll get buckets of great news about it throughout the day.
No buckets of great news for Microsoft. Tell us a little bit about their losses.
Yes, we have talked a lot, haven't we, Nick, about the continuing surge in AI-related stocks. And bear in mind, these big companies, particularly Microsoft, they do other things beyond AI, but it is AI that's been powering their surge. But actually, are we beginning to see the first signs of a wobble, a little slither of doubt about the amount of money being ploughed into AI? More than $400 billion was wiped off Microsoft's stock market value yesterday after they revealed massive increases in spending on their data centres and AI infrastructure without, it would appear, a commensurate rise in revenues in the parts of their business that are actually powered by AI. So there's some questions there. Microsoft's value soared over the course of last year, along with many other tech giants, to lose $400 billion in value because investors say, hang on a minute, there might be a bit of a red flag here, just shows you how high the stakes are. But nevertheless, it's obviously remains one of the world's most powerful tech companies. But I think people are beginning to look at it and say, well, hang on, when is all this investment, this capital expenditure, going to turn into serious revenue growth in the areas that you claim this AI investment is powering? I'm sure some people will hold on and wait and see, but other people are beginning to think that maybe, just maybe, this might be a time to cool it a little bit.
Lastly, as the curtain falls on January, the next time we'll speak together will be in February. Love is in the air.
Diamonds are forever.
I don't know how much much caressing you want to do about this particular diamond, because many would go to higher-end jewellers or possibly in London Hatton Garden, but Christian is going to tell us where you can pick up a real bargain diamond ring. Christian May.
Nick, I know you, as somebody who's recently said I do,
yes.
I bet you wish you waited, because now look what you can get. I mean, you could have bought two of them. You could go to Asda, and for less than it would cost you to buy an Asda cucumber, you can buy a pretty little engagement ring for 96 pence.
Incredible.
Now, this is a bargain of the century. Now, even Asda suggests that this token of love could be taken as a sort of a statement of intent, the intention being to get a better ring down the line. But nevertheless, it's nothing to sniff at, is it? I know most people spend, you know, a grand or two on an engagement ring. I think by tradition it's normally 3 months' salary, isn't it?
But let's keep that quiet, please.
But there you go.
And I won't tell Mrs. May if you don't tell Mrs. Ferrari. We've got a deal. Christian, enjoy your weekend. Thank you. Always finding a bargain. A 96p, quotes, engagement, close quotes, ring. More a ring of intent. Christian May, editor-in-chief at City AM. We're asking, has Trump hit the tipping point? 7:40 now. Luke in Westminster. Has he, Luke? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. I hope you're doing well.
I'm good, thank you.
So, I've been listening to quite a few people label Trump as some sort of fascist or fascist in the making, and I disagree, and in terms of immigration, I don't think this is the turning point, and I'll explain why.
Mm-hmm.
Trump campaigned, in 2024, Trump campaigned on mass deportations. He said he wanted the greatest or the biggest, whatever he said, when it comes to deportations, and I don't know what people are quite expecting, because in order to facilitate such deportations, you're going to need a very large task force, and when it comes...
You're going to need them to operate legally, though.
100%, I 100% agree, and whenever they have stepped out of bounds, the judiciary has limited those excesses. America's constitution is very clear. Trump is subject to very stringent checks and balances, and when it comes to use of force...
Luke, where are the checks and balances in Minneapolis? Two people have been fatally shot in the space of a month. The funding for ICE is $11 billion. $11 billion to, in most instances... In most instances, equip fairly large, burly men with face masks, guns and bulletproof vests. What do you think is going to happen, Luke?
The thing is, Nick, when it comes to U.S. law enforcement, big guns and bulletproof vests aren't really that uncommon, to be honest. Regular patrol officers have them when they're responding to scenes. So,
But they don't routinely drag children out of primary schools.
Well, they're not taking children out of primary schools.
They have to drag children out of primary schools in Minneapolis.
They've even
dragged grandmothers into cars. I mean, listen, if you've got rapists and criminals and murderers, yes, get them out of the country, but do it in a legal fashion.
Arresting people for breaking immigration law is legal, Nick, and that's the thing.
Not in the fashion they're doing. I'm sorry, you and I are just going to have to agree to disagree on this one. How can you justify that, sir?
It's because Trump campaigned on deporting even people who hadn't committed crimes in the United States. That's what the people wanted, and they're getting it.
Well, okay. I don't think they want it. I'll reference again the Fox News poll. I stress, Fox News, 59% of people saying it's gone too far. But, Luke, I'm grateful to you to put the opposite view. That's what a conversation is all about. Thank you, Luke. Have a good weekend, 7:42. Now, when I went through the front pages for you, going back to events here in the UK, we featured Anthony Joshua, of course, the two-time world boxing champion. Well, he's paid an emotional tribute to two friends who were killed in a car crash in Nigeria. You may recall in December, just last month, the 36-year-old former world heavyweight champion sustained minor injuries incidents, but lost, of course, his friends. And here's a little of what he said on social media.
Throughout this, like, journey that I've been on, you know, they've been... It's not easy, but they've been... I didn't even realise that. Like, I'm the big guy, you know what I mean? But I was walking with giants, man, that kept me protected, kept me shielded. But the mission must go on. I understand my duty. I understand, like, what they wanted to do for their families. So what my goal is to continue to help them achieve their goals. It ain't about legacy. It's just doing what's right. And I know what I'm going to do what's right for them. I know what I've got to do. So, yeah, I'm going to do what's right by them. I'm going to do what's right by their family. It's about what's important to me, and they were very important players, very important team members, very important friends, and two of my brothers. So, yeah, I just want to say thank you. We heard, we saw the messages, the tweets, the social media, the YouTubes, the prayers. It's all been acknowledged. So, yeah, we know what we're going to do. Mum, Mama Lats, Mama Sina, Papa Lats, Papa Sina, one love. You know, out here representing. This message is not only on behalf of me, this is on behalf of their families. We appreciate you so much. Thank you for the love worldwide. Continue, don't let it stop. And for anyone out there that's lost a son, a brother, one love to you, like, yeah, from us to you. We're sending that love straight back. And what more can I say?
Anthony Joshua, 7:44. Let's go to social media for more reactions on our conversation. The Trump tipping point is what I suggest. Mike in Crawley has done some historical research. Tipping points in American history, says Mike. 1770, British redcoats opened fire on a hostile crowd of Americans in Boston, killing five, arguably one of the factors leading to the American Revolution. 2026, ICE agents fire on an alleged hostile crowd of Americans in Minneapolis, killing two, the results of which are yet to be seen. Perhaps Trump should learn from his own history. Of course, those were, just to clarify, those were separate incidents, just to make that absolutely plain, that the two victims lost their lives. Paul in Linslade, I've just checked the Minneapolis weather. As we speak, it's minus 17 degrees. Wow. Temperatures won't get above zero for the next week or so. Imagine the response if it was a more livable temperature. What would Trump do against that kind of protest? Tanks? Question mark. Meanwhile, Andy says, ICE are there to do a difficult job that needs doing. All the legal immigrants, I think you mean illegal immigrants, shouldn't be there, period. Yes, sad someone got shot, but stop being unlawful and violent. Comply and you won't get shot. I have no sympathy. Andy, I can't quite believe what I'm reading. I can only imagine you've not seen the video that has been really around the globe, where you see that man is flat on the ground with five people sitting on him and then they shoot him in the back. Do I agree they have a difficult job? Yes, I do. Should these illegal people be there? Obviously they shouldn't by the very definition, but I think you're just totally wrong, I have to say. Now, on other matters, of course, as we hear from Sir Keir Starmer, that trip to China has been a great success. What is Donald Trump's Chinese takeaway on the visit?
Well, it's very dangerous for them to do that, and it's even more dangerous, I think, for Canada to get into business with China. Canada's not doing well, and you can't look at China as the answer.
Well, more from that visit from Trade Minister after the news. 7:45 LBC News headlines now, though. Dominic Ellis.
President Trump has claimed it would be dangerous for the UK to do more business with China. Two British army officers are to face a court-martial over the handling of a sexual assault case of a teenage soldier. And millions of low-income families will receive the government's warm home discount for the rest of the decade. LBC weather cloudy for most with patchy rain and hill snow in the north. Heavy rain and strong winds for the south and west. A high of 11 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays on the M25 clockwise from before Junction 30 at the A13 onto the QE2 bridge. It was after a car broke down earlier. Still very busy in Thurrock on Ship Lane southbound. There's been an accident at the M25 junction and that's causing delays back over the bridge with the A13. Also delays on the North Circular Road southbound heading towards the Neasden interchange. Those emergency works are taking place. One lane is closed and it's slow back to the M1 junction. There's a track problem just outside Paddington, so it means that Great Western Railway is suffering with delays and cancellations. Also, there's a reduced service on the Heathrow Express, and there are minor delays on the Elizabeth line.
This is LBC.
Quick question. Well, actually three, but they are quick. One, do you have a car? Two, are you looking to save on your car insurance? And three, do you have a Tesco club card? Well, if you do, you could get exclusive club card prices when you take out or renew a policy with Tesco Car Insurance. And with three levels of cover available, you can choose the one that's right for you. Over a million club card members are already saving money. So just search online for Tesco Car Insurance.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
I'm Leah and this is my NHS story. I could just feel my body didn't feel right. So my GP referred me to CDC, had some blood tests done, and within 24 hours I had my results. And that just reassured me that I was being taken seriously.
The government is opening new community diagnostic centres with many already available 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. So the NHS can be there for all of us when we need it. Find your closest one at gov.uk/NHS Fit for the Future. Available England-wide.
To be or not to be.
Right now we're offering a range of incentives across Audi models.
That is the...
But only until the 28th of February.
The,
So stop whatever you're doing.
I'll be right back. Just carry on without me.
and find yours online or at your local Audi centre. Audi. Vorsprung durch Technik. Terms and conditions apply. Selected models, retail customers and participating Audi centres only.
The Virgin Atlantic holiday sale is now on. This is your sign to dive into the crystal water of an ancient cave pool in Mexico. Or dry off in the sun on a white sand beach in the Maldives. Or pour yourself into the culture and chaos of a night market in Thailand. Seize the sale. Book in store and online at Virgin Atlantic Holidays. Selected travel dates apply. For T's and C's, visit virginatlantic.com/terms.
Bye, Mum.
He didn't used to leave his room. Now we can't get him back in.
When this lot need help, there's always an expert waiting.
Family mental health support.
All the kids covered for the price of one. That's why I'm with Bupa.
Join before the 13th of March and get a free Whoop 5.0 band and 12-month membership. Search Bupa Health Insurance today. New Bupa by you customers 18 plus. Redeem after 3 months. One per policy. Only pay for the eldest child up to 20 years old. T's and C's apply. Pre-existing conditions not covered.
Okay, do emails. Ah, burnt toast. And now I've got to sort my repeat prescription.
Or just tap the NHS app.
The one I've already got?
Yep, you can check test results, view your GP health record and request repeat prescriptions anytime, anywhere.
All while the kettle's boiling?
Before it boils. And turning on notifications means you'll know the moment you get a new message. We're delivering an NHS fit for the future. Never miss a message. Request repeat prescriptions and more when you tap the NHS app.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
10 minutes before 8 is the time. Now, why is Sir Keir Starmer's trip to China for some much like a Sabrina Carpenter hit song? Because it offers slim pickings. But here to mount a defence, I would imagine, is Trade Minister Sir Chris Bryant, who joins me now. What have we got out of the trip?
Start with a slightly more generous tone of voice. Mr. Ferrari, now, honestly,
Sir Christopher,
how much cynicism can you load into a single sentence?
Sir Christopher, I'm only reflecting what many are saying, that's all.
Oh, honestly, anyway, what's your question?
How would you defend the assertion that Sir Keir has not achieved that much with his 5,000-mile trip to Beijing?
I think he's played an absolute blinder over the last few weeks, showing how the UK can steer its own course, whether it's on Greenland or in relation to China. Look, for years and years and years, we flip-flopped on China. Under one set of conservative ministers, it was meant to be the golden age, and then 10 minutes later, it was meant to be the ice age. Frankly, it felt like the bronze age most of the time. And my point is quite simply, we need to go into our relationship with China with our eyes wide open. They're our fourth biggest export market. We've done really well for Scotch whisky. I didn't think we'd be able to secure this, getting tariffs down from 10% to 5%. That's worth £250 million over the next few years for the Scotch Whisky Association. And that's on top of the work that we've done in India, where the tariffs are going down from 150% to 75%. Likewise, we've got a good deal on security. You will know that lots of people feel furious, as do I, about the small boats crossings from France into the UK. 60% of the kit that has been used for that has been made in China. Anything we can do to limit that, I think, is a really good thing for the UK. And likewise, the visa-free travel, which lots of other countries had secured before, but we've now got 30 days for UK citizens. I think that's good. And also, we're entering into a new partnership on services trade. And this is important because it's the area where the UK really, really punches above its weight around the world. And lots of businesses have been saying to us that doing trade in services in China is difficult. I think this will unlock, in the end, multi-billion pounds worth of trade for UK businesses.
Let's just go through some of the aspects you've discussed there, Sir Chris. You talk about Scotch whisky, and you're right. But do you know where China is in the league tables of whisky sales around the world, with the United States being in first place?
It's something like 10th, yeah.
It's 10th. So that's correct. Yes, well done. If this was...
Well done, Trade Minister knows.
Well done, yes. Sir Christopher, is what I want to say. But that's hardly going to shoot the lights out if it's the 10th biggest market, is it?
No, but it's potentially a much bigger market. And you know, India is a more significant market for us, and we've sorted that, and in Argentina, another market. We're just making our way around the world trying to make sure that wherever possible, British goods have a chance of increasing their exports. So it's £250 million worth or so over the next few years, worth to the Scotch Whisky Association. That protects jobs. It's a good deal.
And just explain how working out Chinese engine parts is going to stop the crossings across the English Channel.
So it's not of itself the only thing that's going to deal with this. And there's some elements of the security deal that I wouldn't want to go into in a public domain for the obvious reason that we're trying to stop illegal crossings.
Right. Okay.
But it is the simple fact that 60% of the motors that are used on the boats that are trying to come across are made in China. If we can limit that trade, then it makes it just that much more difficult for people to engage in that horrific trade. There's another element of the security arrangement, incidentally, which relates to Chinese gangs engaged in fake opioid trade, and that's another part of what we're trying to secure. But look, the point is, in our relationship with China, we need to do two things at the same time. First of all, we need to challenge them where we have disagreements with them, and then we have to cooperate with them where we can. So whether that's on trade or, for that matter, it's on international agreements like things around climate change and so on, where, frankly, if we don't get China to come to the table, then we're not going to get the outcomes that we want.
Well, you and I will have differing views, so let's turn to a third party. President Trump had this to say.
Well, it's very dangerous for them to do that, and it's even more dangerous, I think, for Canada to get into business with China. Canada's not doing well, and you can't look at China as the answer.
So doing those sort of deals, quotes, is very dangerous. Is President Trump wrong?
Well, first of all, in the UK, growth is up, business confidence is up, yep. And productivity is up. So the UK is not on the down, it's on the up.
Right.
Secondly, I would say that we have to plough our own course in relation to these deals. And I just point out that the French have visited many times. This is the first time by a British Prime Minister since 2018. French have visited many times.
So Trump is wrong, Sir Chris.
And President Trump himself is going in April.
A couple of other stories while I have you on the line. Can you help me? Are we going to look to proscribe or to ban the Iranian Guard Corps?
As you will know, you've had many ministers before you. And you've asked them exactly that same
question. I'm glad to know you listened,
Sir Chris. And I'm going to give the same answer as every other minister, which is that we don't talk about who we might or might not prescribe in the future. But the truth is, look, the situation in Iran is despicable. It's a very brutal regime. We've summoned in the Iranian ambassador to tell him our views on this. We've also wanted... excuse me, Nick.
Yeah,
we've also wanted the Iranian government to make it absolutely clear that they're not moving towards having nuclear weapons. We think that that will completely destabilize the region. So we agree with all efforts to try and get them to the table. And I'm also passionately opposed to the death sentence, whether it's in Iran or any other country around the world. And what they've done in recent months is absolutely despicable. So we, of course, would want to stand by the rights of the protesters in Iran.
Finally, a word on events back here at home, if you would, Sir Chris. And there seems to be growing unrest over what are called the cancelled local elections. Councillors have resigned in Norfolk. The leader of Welling Hatfield Council has stood down after a backlash. Essex is thinking to challenge the ruling. This was a misstep to deny people their local democracy, wasn't it, Sir Chris?
Well, you asked me about this last time I was on.
I'm glad you keep such a forensic memory of our conversation, Sir Chris. I'm very pleased about this. Quite honoured, in a way.
I love you above all other journalists. And I've never said that to any other journalist. And if you believe that, you're more gullible than I thought.
Yes, absolutely. So, you've got a bridge to sell me. Yeah, go on.
No, the point I was going to make is that I don't think voters like unnecessary elections. You may recall, because you and I are old enough, Patrick Gordon Walker... the Labour government tried to create a by-election to enable him to become Foreign Secretary. It was a very safe seat. We lost it. We forced an unnecessary election for.
But these aren't necessary. These were scheduled elections. Sir Chris, these were scheduled elections. That's the difference, Sir Chris.
Well, they are. But as you know, and as I explained last time, there is a big reorganisation of local government in England, which makes absolute sense. I'm in Wales. I'm home in Wales at the moment. Wales, we don't have two different layers of local authorities. We just have unitary authorities. That means you don't have two directors of finance, one for the local council and one for the county council. You just have one director of finance for the whole county borough council. And that's precisely the reorganisation. It's a massive reorganisation going on in England.
Okay.
And that's why it just seems a bit daft, if I'm honest. I think most people would probably agree with me that if you're going to have new local authorities created in the next 12 months, 24 months, it just seems a bit daft to elect people to bodies that aren't going to exist for very long. It'd be better to crack on with mending the potholes and sorting out social services and social care than spending more money on unnecessary elections.
Enjoy your weekend in Wales. I'm sure you will. So Chris Bryant, Trade Minister, talking about the benefits from Scotch there, boosting that market to clamping down on engine parts used for illegal crossing. Sir Chris Bryant. We'll go 1 minute late to news because Reza is in St Albans and wants to tell me about whether we've found a tipping point for Trump. Your reaction, Reza. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think whatever the Trump doing in America is doing for his own safety of his country.
We're not shooting innocent citizens, Reza.
But what about the IRGC shooting innocent people in Iran?
I don't think you want to compare any civilized country with what's happening in Iran, do you?
Yeah, but no, it's not about that. My point is, whatever the Trump doing in America is, they saying they deporting people with American passport. Yeah, it's understandable. But those people got passport. Most of them they related to IRGC. Couple of days ago,
What are you talking about? The people in Minnesota related to the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps. Where are you getting that from?
Yeah, mostly because it's 2 days ago they deported 40 Iranian to the Iran, and most of them had a green card.
So you're justifying what happened in Minnesota as a result of that?
No, I'm not justifying that. I'm saying whatever the Trump doing is doing the right thing.
Right. Let's see what others make of it. Trump is doing the right thing. I'm afraid we're going to have to agree to disagree, Reza, but I wish you a safe weekend. Thank you. The music means we must move on. And coming up after the news, the number of sex offences reported to police has jumped a record high. Now, Home Secretary Shabana Mahmood, speaking in December of last year, announcing every police force will have a specialist team to investigate such offences.
It's a postcode lottery at the moment, if you're a victim, in terms of the standard of service you're going to get. We want to turn that around. That's why we do think it has to be a national programme.
It may be world famous, but the Great Ormond Street Hospital had a doctor who botched surgery and harmed nearly 100 children. Plus, back to that Chinese trip, and how do Chinese people here in the UK react to what Sir Keir has or has not achieved? We go to Chinatown to find out. 8 o'clock news, though, on LBC is next.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 8 o'clock, President Trump has claimed it would be dangerous for the UK to do more business with China. Sir Keir Starmer's currently in the country to strengthen economic ties with Beijing. It's understood Downing Street made Washington aware of the trip and its objectives in advance. The Trade Minister, Sir Chris Bryant, has just told Nick, inconsistencies in our relationship with Beijing need to end.
We have to plough our own course in relation to these deals. And I just point out that the French have visited many times. This is the first time by a British Prime Minister since 2018. French have visited many times.
So Trump is wrong, Sir Chris.
And President Trump himself is going in April.
Two British Army officers are to face a court-martial over the handling of a sexual assault case. Gunner Jaisley Beck, who was 19, took her own life in 2021 after she was attacked by a senior colleague. An inquest heard the Army's handling of her complaint played a part in her death. The Foreign Office says it's supporting the family of a British girl who's missing from a beach in Morocco. It's understood the 7-year-old was swept away by a wave while sitting on rocks in Casablanca on Wednesday. Millions of low-income families will receive the government's warm home discount for the rest of the decade. The £150 rebate on energy bills will continue every winter. Jan Rose now is a former special advisor to the House of Commons on energy. He's told LBC people will still struggle to afford their bills.
The support that's being offered will not be enough for quite a few families to offset the increase in price that we have seen. I think sort of looking ahead with the warm homes plan, I would hope that some of those measures in there will help people move away and get off more expensive energy, install a heat pump, or improve their homes to become more efficient, and that will insulate them from price shocks in the future.
And LBC understands the Treasury considered plans to end free entry to museums and galleries for international visitors. The proposals were weighed up as part of spending cuts in November's budget. The idea was eventually scrapped, though, after pushback from culture ministers. In the city, the FTSE 100 has just reopened at 10,171. It closed up 17 yesterday. The pound buys $1.37 and €1.15. LBC weather, cloudy for most with patchy rain and hill snow in the north. Heavy rain and strong winds for the south and west, a high of 11 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible, and make a claim with HMRC for free, online. Just search, don't get caught out.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Morning, Chip, 4 minutes after eight on Friday, January the 30th. Coming up in this hour, it is revealed that sex crimes soar to record levels, an average 588 every day. We'll look at that in more detail. Plus, dozens of children, scores of children actually, suffered severe harm and pain at the hands of a rogue Great Ormond Street orthopaedic surgeon. Lizzie Roberts' son Tate is now 19, but he's been left in constant pain after operations from Yasser Jabbar.
He's a young man and he should be kind of living life to the full. And, you know, he's had to pull out of college, had to withdraw from college because he knew he needed more surgery.
The story of the hero bus driver who, seeing one of his passengers having jewellery robbed from, I think, around her neck, chases the thief down, retrieves the jewellery. He gets hit by the thief, so he hits the thief back. Knocks him out, by the way. And he gets fired. He called in to LBC, the driver called in, Mark Heater, into LBC yesterday.
And next thing, the guy, as is clearly shown on CCTV, went to throw a left punch, and I met him with a right punch. And clearly he went down.
Well, I think he did exactly the right thing, so why on earth would the bus firm fire him? Plus, the number of term time school holiday fines hits another record high. What don't you understand? The dates are printed when your child should be and does not need to be in school. Why do more and more people take them out? And, of course, as we come towards the end of Sir Keir's trip down to China, for those living in London, what is the Chinese takeaway on the trip?
As the Prime Minister concludes his visit to China, how has it gone down in the hub of the UK's Chinese community? I'm LBC's Henry Riley in London's Chinatown.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 60 60973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
There's something very ugly going on in the world of crime or law and order. As I mentioned a moment or two ago, the number of sex offences reported to police has jumped to a record high. There were 214,816 recorded sex crimes last year. These are official figures from the ONS, Office for National Statistics. That's up 8% year on year. And as one newspaper has worked out, that comes in at 500, the Daily Mail, 588 incidents every day, with also the highest ever number of recorded rapes, 74,265. That's appalling. That's more than 10,000 a week. Lucy Duckworth is policy advisor at the Survivors Trust and joins me now. Your take on these figures, they're horrendous. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. They are horrendous, and I think it's really concerning that every time these figures come out, we talk about them, but I've also seen there's been a bit of a pushback as to an explanation as to why they're rising. Maybe it's because we're recording it more, or maybe it's because the Online Safety Act has meant that online offences are being recorded. I think that rather than analysing why they're going up, we should really be making it a priority to bring them down. And that's down to all of us. But really, the government need to be making this the national priority that several times they have said they would do, and really working with the sector and with all professionals to make sure that all sexual offences are brought down immediately.
Lucy, you say it's down to all of us. What am I can assure you I've never taken part in one of these crimes. I don't intend to. What am I meant to do?
I don't doubt that, and I think a lot of people are really scared when they hear these numbers, and rightly so. I mean, you know, when we break them down, 500,000 children experience sexual assault every single year. That's one every single minute. What people can do is become more aware of it and educate themselves and talk to the people, such as their MPs, who do have the power to make the change. Look, the government know these figures. They've known them for many years, and we've got the blueprint for change. We've just got to enact it. And it's quite a courageous thing to do that, because it's complicated and it's everywhere. It's not like one single event. This, you know, sexual offences happen to anyone. They can happen to anyone, and they're not confined to any particular area of society, and that's what makes it so challenging to tackle. But just because it's challenging, we mustn't shy away from it.
I think you touched on this, Lucy. What has the impact been in 2024? They included the sending or sharing of intimate photographs or films, close quotes, as a sexual offence. What impact do you think that, and I'm not demeaning it for a moment, but what impact does in the field of sexual crimes?
Well, you know, of course, it's meant that more as the language is sex offences. I find that language problematic myself, but it means that more are being reported. This is actually a good thing, because we know that this crime across the board is completely underreported, and we're finally starting to take the data. And actually, once we take the data and we can see how severe the problem is, we can start really looking at funding prevention. But right now, we have had a succession of governments that aren't really willing to do that, and that's what has to change.
Well, let's talk about the political aspect a little bit, if we can, Lucy. What do you think the Home Secretary, what do you think the government needs to do?
I would like to see them working with the specialist sector, the people who are working with the survivors of sexual violence every single year, to make sure that they are properly funded and are engaging in the prevention techniques that research says is needed. So this includes education for the public, educating children and young people, better support for families, much better support for those who have experienced it, because we know the lifelong impact this has on health, on crime, on accessing all frontline services. And it has to change now. We can't keep saying we've got other priorities, because actually when you see those figures, that every single minute somebody is experiencing sexual assault, and you think of the impact that will have on all of our services, it's costing our society, if we remove the emotion from it, it's costing our society in excess of $50 billion every single year. So while we're arguing about other things that take away taxpayers' money, this is surely one of the biggest.
Lucy Duckworth is Policy Advisor at the Survivors Trust. Thanks very much for your time today, 11 after 8. Listening, let's get to the policing aspect. Sue Sim was Chief Constable of Northumbria Police and joins me now. Policing is a very difficult job, of course. How high up the table of work and operations that officers treat sexual crimes would you say, Sue Sim? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. I believe that police officers do take sexual offences seriously. Certainly when I was the Chief Constable, excuse me, yes, it was one of my main priorities. I totally agree with Lucy, though. If the Home Secretary wants this to be taken seriously, she needs to make it a major priority for policing. With all the discussions that she did on reshaping forces last week, sexual offences were not discussed once.
Well, that's an interesting point. I hadn't picked up on that, Sue. So how would making it a priority, how would that look? What should she seek to do? Another unit, a special unit? What does it look like?
Well, she talked about putting the serious offences into the National Policing Unit. One of the things that needs to happen, and unfortunately, is does not happen with rigour around the 43 forces at the moment, is everybody should have dedicated sexual offences units with officers who are trained to deal with these offences. And more importantly, the figures, I know we're talking about reporting today, part of the reason that, you know, let's be honest, and I'm saying this as a former police officer, most rapes still do not get reported because the police and the criminal justice system do not get them through the courts fast enough. Mm. People are still waiting 4 and 5 years for crimes to be taken before the court. That's appalling. It must change. It must become a priority for British policing.
Is it right that as of 2024, the offence of sharing intimate photographs or photography or films, close quotes, is treated as a sexual... Again, I'm not demeaning it, but do you see that as a sexual offence?
I think it is a sexual offence, but I think what the interesting element for that is that people are prepared to report that as an offence. I think it links back much more seriously to the fact that information over the internet, the Andrew Tates of this world, social media, internet content, general misogyny, that all leads to an increase. So it's good that things are reported and recorded, but I think what you've got to start looking at, as your previous person said, is you've got to start looking at talking much more seriously and at a much younger age about consent.
Grateful for your input. Sue Sim, former Chief Constable of Northumbria Police, your reactions. 74,000 rapes a year. That's a rate of about 1,400 a week, roughly, I would have thought, 1,400 a week. It's 588 sexual crimes a day, but it does include, and again, for the third time, I'm not demeaning this, but the sending or sharing of intimate photographs or photography or films, should that be classified as a sex crime? In other news, dozens of children, scores of children, suffered severe harm and pain at the hands of a rogue Great Ormond Street orthopaedic surgeon. Matthew Shaw is the hospital's chief executive.
There is no corporate cardboard apology here. What has happened to these children at this hospital is unacceptable, and it is awful.
And we'll have more on that as well after this. It's 8:15, LBC News headlines then. Dominic Ellis.
Speaking to Nick, a trade minister has said the UK has to plough its own course after a warning from President Trump that it would be dangerous to increase ties with China. Two British army officers are to face a court-martial over their handling of a sexual assault case. And millions of low-income families will receive the government's warm home discount for the rest of the decade. LBC weather, cloudy for most with patchy rain and hill snow in the north, heavy rain and strong winds for the south and west, a high of 11 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays on the A13 westbound to the M25 junction. It's because a car broke down earlier. It has been recovered, but there are still severe delays back to the Baker Street interchange. Also very busy on the M11 southbound, heading down towards Junction 8 at Bishop Stortford. There's been an accident, and there are queues of about 2 miles on the approach. Now, these problems continue on the A40 as well. Eastbound, it's slow to the Greenford flyover. Van's broken down. That's slow back to Hillingdon. And also delays on the North Circular Road southbound from Staples Corner to the Neasden interchange because of the emergency repair works. There are severe delays on the Elizabeth Line and also Great Western Railway and Heathrow Express to and from Paddington.
LBC.
We get it. Making tax digital can sometimes feel daunting. But with Xero's HMRC recognised software, you quickly get to feeling confident. If you're a sole trader or landlord whose income tax is going digital, not only is Xero MTD ready, it also gives you better control of your finances, like having the clear financial visibility you need every quarter to avoid end-of-year tax surprises. Change the way you see MTD. Search MTD Ready with Xero.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
Every day, the noise gets louder, deadlines tighter, commutes longer, opinions stronger, and social media fakes get harder to spot. You need concise, verified, easy access to the stories that matter. You need the Bulletin app, trusted news from The Independent in a simple, bite-sized format. Download Bulletin today on iOS or Android. Bulletin, trusted news for seriously busy people.
It took me less than 30 seconds to request my repeat prescription on the NHS app.
That's quicker than making this brew.
And I save time by not ringing the GP practice.
Win.
Plus, with notifications turned on, I know as soon as I get a new message.
Big win.
So there's more time for this tea break.
So did you go to that restaurant?
I did. It was so
good. We're delivering an NHS fit for the future. Request repeat prescriptions and turn on notifications to never miss a message. Tap the NHS app.
There's one green bottle sat on my fridge shelf. This green and white bottle that supports my gut health. Beautiful by nature and beautiful by name. It's the tastiest way to up my gut health game.
Beautiful gut health. Upgrade your yogurt to the UK's number one kefir and reset your gut health with Beautiful. Kefir is a source of calcium which contributes to the normal function of digestive enzymes. For verification of UK's number one kefir, see beautifulguthealth.com/radio.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Let's pick up on what you're saying about these horrific sexual crime figures. Dean Barry says, what is the criteria required to make something qualify as a sex crime? The figures are for severe offences, surely out of control. We do need some context. I hear what you say, and for the fourth time, I will say, I am not demeaning the severity of the exchange of photographs or film showing intimate images for a moment, but is that a sexual crime? Now, obviously, rape or recorded rapes is 74,265. That's enough. So there's that one. And a lot of you are saying, here we are. Let's get your names. Here we go. Terence, Lee. Similar themes. No surprise. Hundreds of young men arriving on our shores being left to roam around. Terence, why are you so surprised? What do you think when these people come into the country? Look, let's get this again in context. Unfortunately, sexual crimes took place before any of those asylum seekers came to this country. Yes, you can look at incidents, and you're right to look at incidents in Epping, in Isleworth, and other parts of the country where these arrivals have been convicted of sexual crime. And probably, proportionately, the number is quite high among those who arrive in this country and then go on to commit sexual crime. I get it. But it is both knee-jerk and facile to say it is all down to those arrivals, because it's not. No way on God's earth are 74,265 victims of rape all down to people who've arrived on the small boats. So while it forms part of the conversation, and I deliberately read those out from Terence and from Lee because I knew it will upset a lot of you, but let's not let it be the elephant in the room. Oh, Nick, why aren't you mentioning the arrivals? I just have. But keep it in context. Context is everything in these conversations. So the 74,265 victims of rape, please don't try and tell me that that's all down to people arriving on those boats. We'll have more reaction on that in a moment, but it's 8:20. And to a story I have mentioned on a number of occasions, so we do need to get into this in a bit more detail, which is horrific events at Great Ormond Street Hospital. Scores of children suffered severe harm and pain at the hands of a rogue surgeon. Yesterday, the hospital released a review into the actions of Yaza Jabbar, who treated hundreds of children between 2017 and 2022. It's concluded that 94 patients, more than a quarter of those he operated on, came to harm. He made errors, including the wrong cuts in bone. 36 children came to severe harm, meaning they suffered permanent or life-changing damage, 39 to moderate harm, and 19 came to mild harm. We'll tell you more of what the hospital said in just a moment. Just to give you a bit more detail of this surgeon, he's understood now to live in Dubai, no longer having a licence to practice in Britain. His speciality was high-risk limb lengthening and reconstruction, and operations on children with conditions affecting their bones and joints. Lizzie Roberts has a son, Tate, who was operated back in 2022 and joins me now. May I call you Lizzie? Good morning.
Yes, morning.
Lizzie, thank you for coming on the show. So, let's talk a little bit about Tate. What was his condition?
So Tate, and unfortunately, was hit by a car when he was six, and he was taken to Broomfield Hospital, underwent various surgeries there, and he made a really good recovery. He after a while, he was back at school playing football, doing all the normal things, chucking himself around like a young kid does.
Right.
We were going regularly for checkups at Broomfield Hospital with the surgeon who'd operated on him. And then after a few years, he referred us on to Great Ormond Street because he said there's the likelihood that because he's so young, he could get some sort of deformity in the future, depending on how the bone grows.
Lizzie, what age was Tate when he was referred up to Great Ormond Street?
So he probably was about 12.
12, okay.
When he was referred up.
So reaching a crucial time, reaching puberty, reaching a crucial time in his life, in his development, obviously.
Absolutely, yeah. And it was really important to do it at that time because, you know, your growth starts to slow down at a certain point, and if they wanted to stop some growth, which was what was on the surgeon's mind, they needed to do it at a critical time so that you didn't miss that window of opportunity. So we were referred up there. We were seeing a different consultant, and we were literally going for yearly checkups, do the measurements, do the, you know, have a look and see how he's developing. All of the time, there was no need. The deformity is not serious enough to operate. We're looking good. We're looking good. That consultant left Great Ormond Street to go and work abroad. And then we were handed over to Jabal. And then
Lizzie, do you recall your first meeting with Jabal?
I wouldn't say specifically, but I didn't have any concerns, to be honest. I thought he was very friendly. He made you feel comfortable and confident. It was always just him speaking in the room. There was none of the other team kind of got involved, but I just thought, well, he's the consultant, so maybe that's how it works. He was fine, to be honest. I had no cause for alarm at that point.
So what happened next? Obviously, he reviews your son's case and then says to you and your husband or your partner, whoever might have been with you, right, we need to do what?
So initially he said that he would need to stop the growth in Tate's left leg, which was the leg that he broke in the accident, because it had overgrown. So when you break a bone, it stimulates bone growth. And so because he was going through that period of a lot of growth in his because of his age, it had actually overgrown. So they needed to stop the bone growth in his left leg so that his right leg had enough time to catch up so he wouldn't be left with one leg longer than the other. So that was done, and that was successful, and he made a pretty good recovery from that. And again, he was back playing football, all was well. So we were going again for checkups, and that was in the August 2020 he had that done.
Right.
And then during 2021, so we went for a checkup, and Jabal said that there is quite a deformity in his left leg, that it was bowing quite a lot,
right,
and it's putting pressure on his knee.
Was the lad experiencing that? Did he say, "Mum, my knee does hurt a lot," or was it came as a surprise?
Not really. Right. No, not really. So anyway, what he said to us was, look, this is a preventative operation. He said, you don't have to have it. He said, but if you don't, Tate will probably need a knee replacement in his early 20s. And my son wants to be a chef. So he's
going to be on his legs
training
all day
to be
long.
A chef. Yeah, exactly. So, and he wants to be a patisserie chef, actually. So that's his ambition. And, you know, we talked about it. He was coming up to sort of 16 at that point. And, you know, I kind of said to him, what do you want to do? And he said, look, Mum, you know, I trust Jabal. We're in safe hands, and better the devil you know. So I'd rather have it done now than in my 20s when I'm going to be working. So we did.
And what happened? When did you realise that the surgery was possibly unnecessary or incorrect?
So we'd agreed to have, so there's a thing called an osteotomy, which is, sorry for breakfast listeners, right, but where they break a bit of the bone. And they put a metal pin through the bone, the bone straightens around it, if that makes sense.
Right.
So we were expecting for that to happen just under the knee, because we knew that the knee was the thing that was the issue. And then when he came out of surgery, obviously I'm in a bit of a state being a mum, having seen your child go down for more surgery, and I came back and I saw this bandage around his ankle that had blood coming from it. And I said to the nurses, I was kind of like, you know, what's that for? They said, oh, we're not sure, we'll get the surgeon to come and speak to you. And that was like the first time I was kind of like, well, what's that doing there? And his foot was set at a really strange inward angle. And then eventually we saw Jabbar, and he said, during theatre, he said, I couldn't get the metal pin in correctly. He said that the ankle was a lot more deformed than I thought. And I thought to myself, well, surely you've done x-rays and you should know how.
Yes.
So he said, unfortunately, I've had to break the ankle as well to get the pin in straight. So you kind of go, okay. At the time, I'm more bothered about the fact that my son is, you know, recovering from this.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But then it's come to light through investigating this that actually during when we've seen all the clinical notes, it actually started by breaking the ankle. So what he told us was a lie. And the report that actually came out, our individual report for Tate, where they said he came to moderate harm, they said all of his practice was unacceptable. And it actually comes to light that he started with the ankle and he decided intraoperatively, so during the operation, to do that with no consent from me at all.
How is Tate now?
He's doing okay. He can't work full time. So the surgery that Jabbar actually did, it was done poorly and incorrectly. And we know it hasn't made any difference to the alignment of his leg either. So it was a completely pointless operation. So he is in a lot of knee pain.
I almost hate to ask this, Lizzie, but do we need to reoperate on the bogus operation?
Yeah, so we had surgery in March last year to remove all of the metalwork that Jabbar had left in to see if that might resolve some of the pain he was having. And it's not resolved the knee pain. So one of the specialists that we have seen has said that it's likely that the same surgery would be needed again, but we are still going through seeing consultants to see what might need to be done.
Lizzie, what is your view of that surgeon now, Jabbar?
I mean, the surgeon, one thing, I'm probably not best not to say what my view of him is, but I think for me, the wider issues of how was he allowed to do this? And when I got a copy of the Royal College of Surgeons report, which came out in last year, I think it was, might have even been the year before, to patients, it was so heavily redacted that I actually cried when I read it because it felt like they were covering up so much that they didn't want us to know. We know there was a toxic workplace culture there. We know that whistleblowers weren't listened to. We know that people were sort of threatened with their jobs by consultants. But what worries me is during that operation in itself, it wasn't just Jabbar there on his own. There were a room full of people who are part of the medical care team, and nobody stood up and looked out for my son. And that's what really upsets me is however many, I don't know what, you've got six or seven people in there at least. No one was looking out for my son at that point. They were all looking out for themselves and for their jobs.
Sorry, final word from you. I'm so sorry. It's just I have to get to some headlines. But go ahead, Lizzie. Make your final point. I'm so sorry.
I was just going to say, I think there's more lessons that need to be learned from this.
Will you give Tate my best wishes? Lizzie, thank you for giving us such detail. Lizzie Roberts talking about her son, Tate. Thanks again, Lizzie. Best to your son and your family. The Great Ormond Street Hospital has apologised for what's happened. They said, we are committed to ensuring our hospital becomes a better and safer place. David, you want to talk about those crime figures. Can we do it the other side of the news when I can give you a good run at it? We're also going to come to argue what could be the story of the day. The hero bus driver who tracked down a thief who'd stolen from a female passenger on his bus, retrieved the jewellery and then knocked him out and gets fired. He phoned Mark Heehear. He phoned LBC.
Next thing, the guy, as is clearly shown on CCTV, went to throw a left punch and I met him with a right punch. And clearly he went down.
Surely the man deserves a bonus, not the bullet. 8:31, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari on LBC. News time, Dominic Ellis.
A trade minister has pushed back on President Trump's claim it would be dangerous for the UK to strengthen ties with China. So Chris Bryant has told Nick the UK has to plough its own course with Beijing. Two British Army officers are to face a court-martial over the handling of a sexual assault case. Gunner Jaisley Beck, who was 19, took her own life in 2021 after she was attacked by a senior colleague.
and millions of low-income families will receive the government's warm home discount for the rest of the decade. The £150 rebate on energy bills will continue every winter. LBC weather, cloudy for most with patchy rain and hill snow in the north. Heavy rain and strong winds for the south and west, a high of 11 degrees.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
It would have been an absolute farce to pay WASPI women some £10.3 billion in compensation. No one lost any money. The changes were announced 30 plus years ago with advertising campaigns and coverage. There were more letters set out in 2011. And I'm sorry to say, it's up to individuals to check their own financial arrangements.
Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4 p.m. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
Across the country, thousands of drivers are feeling electric about switching to an EV, and here's why. They can go from London to Sheffield on a single charge that could cost around a fiver. They're ecstatic about that and the exhilarating feeling behind the wheel. Plus, with charging made simple at home, they're always ready for the drive ahead. I can see why they're into it. Switch to an EV and get that electric feeling. Costs and range dependent on tariffs, model and driving habits. For full details, visit gov.uk/cleanenergy.
A Southern train is a place where you can have more me time. A chance to recharge yourself and your phone. To stretch out, sit back, and when you hear "all change, please," you'll know you already have. Go with your flow and save with advance tickets at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
Experience. It's knowing when something is worth waiting for and when it isn't. That's why Saga Health Insurance offers unlimited GP appointments whenever you need them. With a choice of flexible plans, prompt tests and treatment, your health is taken care of. And right now, get 3 months free. Search Saga Health Insurance for a quote today. New customers starting a policy before the 19th of February. Pay bi-monthly direct debit for the first year. Terms and conditions apply. Over 50s only.
For the nappies, peekaboos and tea parties. Mess, tantrums and sleepless nights. All those yo-yos, action figures and shinies. Lifts to mates, lifts to parties, lifts everywhere. For each and every one of those teenage years. Let's be honest. You probably owe your parents one. So tell them about pension credit. It could boost their pension income by an average of over £4,000 a year. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
8:35, David coming to you. That was an extended interview with Lizzie Roberts, whose son Tate was operated on, but it was, I think it was necessary to get the full details of how that surgery was so botched and how it's left the young man. So David and Horsham, thank you. I want to come back to those crime figures with which we started this hour. Your take on those as I gave them out earlier in the hour. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yeah, you read out a couple of texts earlier from people asking the question or linking the increase in sex offences to the migrants and yep. the boats. And quite rightly, you highlighted the fact that these sex offences were taking place before we had that immigration of any kind. And yep. a lot takes place by native people. But my point would be that every single offence, be it sexual or otherwise, committed by someone who came over illegally on a boat was preventable.
Right.
And the people, and even though the number of people who are affected by it may be a small proportion, let's say it's 50 people a year, maybe probably 50 women, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Those are 50 women whose lives have been affected forever. And those incidents could have been prevented if this and previous governments had got a hold of the border problem and were tackling the boat issue. And that's my
fair.
Problem. It doesn't matter whether it's 50 or
comment.
500.
Yep, that's fair comment.
The fact is, there are 50 women's lives who have been affected forever. You know, and I know people, I'm aware of people who have experienced these kinds of offences, and it affects them for the rest of their lives. But every single one committed by a person who came over on a boat or illegally, or who we either didn't stop or who we didn't put in a camp and prevent them from moving freely around this country until we can determine whether it's safe to do so or not, they are victims of something which was utterly preventable.
It was utterly preventable.
And that is lamentable.
But lastly, and you're right, and I think that's a very fair observation, and you've put it in a very fair and eloquent fashion, but how would it be prevented? Because different administrations, different governments have tried and lamentably failed. Do you have a solution?
Well, yes, I do. I mean, the solution is very simple as far as I'm concerned, and I don't understand why it hasn't done before. If I land at Heathrow without a passport, I will not be allowed to leave the airport. I will be put in an immigration centre and detained. I do not understand why it's different when you land on the shores of this country in a boat. I believe people should be taken to a centre. They should be restricted in their movement. We have no idea who they are, where they are. And ultimately, what we are saying is that the human rights of the people arriving here are more important than the human rights of our own mainly female citizens who are suffering at the hands of these attacks. And I think that is absolutely appalling.
Difficult to argue with almost all of that. Some people would say that many of those people who arrive, their cases are subsequently upheld. They do have right to live here, so if they've not committed a crime, why are they being held in detention camps? But when you quite rightly point out that there could be as few as 50, but that's 50 too many, who have to live with the aftermath for the rest of their life, that seems a fair observation. David, thank you for that. Now let's come to what I think is possibly one of the stories of the day. We're on a bus in London. A man nicks a necklace from a female passenger and runs off. The driver gives chase, restrains the robber, manages to get back the jewellery and returns it to the grateful woman back on the bus. But the thief comes back to the bus, claiming that he wants to say sorry, but the victim is obviously alarmed, so the driver again intervenes. The thief tries to punch the driver, misses. The driver obviously throws a very good punch and knocks the thief cold. The driver's called Mark Heehear. He called LBC, Tom Swarbrick, yesterday and said,
a guy jumped on the bus, he brushed past the girl, and he noticed probably that jewellery on her neck. And he just snapped the jewellery off her neck and ran off the bus down the street. So before anything kind of clicked, it's just a thing that you think, okay, what do you do? You have seconds to think. So I'm going, I'm not letting this guy get away, you know, because you hear about it so often, whereas people on tubes, trains, buses, they're opportunists, and they wait for these people mm-hmm. just to keep their guard down. And mm-hmm. this strike. And it just... I wasn't going to allow it.
You left the cab and... Well, you stopped the bus, put the handbrake on, left the cab?
Well, the bus was already at a stop. And right. The girl was actually getting on, and the bus had... the guy had gone on the previous stop. So when the girl was getting onto the bus, she was just about to pay her fare, and the guy leapt on her and basically ripped the necklace and took off out the front door. Down the street. So I kind of got out of my cab when I realised what happened. The girl was very upset. After about 200 metres, I caught the guy. We had a bit of a scuffle. He realised he wasn't getting away, so he handed me back the necklace. I walked back to the bus. I handed the necklace to the girl who was there with the passengers outside the bus. And someone said, he's coming behind you. So I turned around, and he's about 20 metres. He's running across the road. So I turn around, and the girl is clearly on CCTV putting her hand up. She's distressed. She's telling him to go away. And I stood between them because she's nervous. I stood between them. And next thing, the guy, as is clearly shown on CCTV, went to throw a left punch. And I met him with a right punch. And clearly he went down.
And the response from his employers, Metro Line, was to fire him, which has been upheld at a tribunal. Robin White, employment law barrister to be found at Old Square Chambers, joins me now. I think the bus driver deserves a bonus, not the bullet. What do you think, Robin White? Good morning.
Good morning. Well, I've been reading the... in the last few minutes before speaking to you, I've been reading the ET decision, the Employment Tribunal decision.
Yep.
And I think the view that the company took was that, amongst other things, abandoning the bus with the passengers on it and the engine running, and then going, as they saw it, to assault a member of the public was not something which they would encourage Metro Line staff to do.
I realise that. Engine ticking over, passengers on a bus, but he got the jewellery back and he possibly prevented a further scene with the passenger, the victim.
Well, that's not... I think it's important to read the judgment. Often
would he really believe that he was returning to the bus with the clear intention to apologise?
Well, those are the findings. That's what's said.
But do you believe that? I'm prepared to say I don't.
I can't possibly know.
How often do thieves, having tried to run away, they get tackled, the item, in this case, jewellery, is retrieved, do they then say, do you know what, can I come back and shake hands with the victim and say I'm sorry? Come on, Robin White.
Well, I'm sorry, I wasn't there. All I have to go on are the paper findings. And they found that assaulting members of the public while he should be driving a bus wasn't what they wanted Metro Line staff to be doing.
If you were sitting, if you were judging at what you call an ET, an employment tribunal, would you have found for Metro Line on this case, do you imagine, from your experience in this field?
They went through a fair process. They understood what had happened. They understood how their company procedures, which said that the driver's primary responsibility is looking after the bus and his passengers, weren't followed. And the guy had headed off into London to go and assault somebody.
All right, Robin, thank you. Robin White, employment law barrister, to be found at Old Square Chambers. My argument is, give the man a bonus, not the bullet. Should we look at what the police said at the time? A detective constable, who obviously attended the scene, said, and I quote from his notes that were read to the employment tribunal, quotes, the claimant had used force which was proportionate and necessary in the circumstances in the defence of himself and the female passenger. Now, the one problem to get over, and I am aware of this, is that as a bus driver, leaving your bus with the engine ticking over is not a good thing. Because at worst, someone's going to jump in the bus and just think it'd be a huge hoot to drive off with goodness knows how many passengers on board, right? In a perfect world, he should have taken the keys with him, obviously. But as he said, and when he spoke to my LBC colleague Tom Sorbury, these things happen in an instant. It's what is it? Fight or flight, I think it's called, isn't it? And he decided to fight. Now, if I was Metro Line, who we have approached to comment, and they've merely repeated the comments in the first, the tribunal's upheld dismissal as fair. If you're unfortunate enough to be on buses with Metro Line, you might want to think about that. But I would have said, look, you shouldn't have left the cab, but we're not going to fire you, but we are going to have to put it on file. You know, don't start jumping out of your cabs and thumping people. Because he did wait half an hour. He restrained the bloke for, it reports for 30 minutes before police, which was, again, for Metro Line, an excessive use of force and disproportionate. Pat's in Maidenhead. Pat, bonus or the bullet? What should it be for Mark Key here?
An absolute bonus. Do people not realise who is in the right? This is something similar to a citizen's arrest. He did his best to protect another member of the public. What would people say if he just stood there, let the guy batter the woman when he came back, and then say, why didn't you do something? Oh, I was going to get, you know, I'd lose my job.
But yeah, what would people say? I hear what you say, Pat, but what would people say if someone had jumped in the bus and driven off?
Part of life.
Well, no, let's say there are a dozen passengers on board the bus and suddenly a bloke or a woman dives in the cab and we're off. I don't think you can just say, well, that's part of life. I was travelling from Wembley to Maida Vale, is it? Yes, I'm
okay.
Right.
Okay. What is the biggest issue? Is the person going to steal the bus and what they're going to do with it? Secondly, someone was in imminent danger. The person stealing the bus isn't necessarily putting people in imminent danger. Yes, it might end up and unfold like that, but actually, it's highly unlikely that someone's going to take the bus. What this guy did was sort something out that was happening, that was wrong, being a good citizen, contributing to society, and they're the people we want to see.
Well said, Pat. That's Pat's view. You heard the employment lawyer's view. Which side of the fence are you on? Bullet or a bonus for the hero driver? Calls on that, Stuart. We're also talking crime with you. We'll get you the other side of the news when you can have a good run at it. And January's done. This is the last day I'll speak to you in January. Then we'll be in February. Before you know it, it'll be Easter and it'll be time for...
We need a holiday. We took a holiday. Holiday. Holiday.
And this, as the number of term time school holiday fines hit another record high. We'll look at that in the next hour. It's 8:46 LBC News. Headlines, Dominic Ellis.
A trade minister has told LBC the UK has to plough its own course after President Trump warned that it would be dangerous to increase ties with China. Two British army officers are to face a court-martial over their handling of a sexual assault case. And the Conservatives are calling for a bus driver to get his job back after he got sacked for chasing down a thief in London. LBC weather, cloudy for most with patchy rain and hill snow in the north, heavy rain and strong winds for the south and west, a high of 11 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Long delays on the M11 southbound heading down towards Junction 8 at Bishop Stortford. There's been an accident. The road is partially blocked and it's slow for about 3 miles on the approach. The A13's all open now westbound at the Lakeside turnoff, but it's still very slow. Also delays on the A40 eastbound to the Greenford flyover. A van's broken down. It's slow back to Hillingdon. And the North Circular Road's still very busy southbound to the Neasden interchange. It's slow from the Brent Cross flyover. It's because of the emergency works where only one lane is open. Just outside Paddington Station, there are problems with the signals. So it means that the severe delays on the Elizabeth Line, Heathrow Express and Great Western Railway, and also Thames Link trains remain disrupted between St Pancras and Sutton.
This is LBC.
EasyJet's Big Orange Sale is now on. Beat the blues and book the beach with up to £500 off package holidays and up to 25% off flights. EasyJet, get out there. Selected dates and flights. Flight sale ends 3rd of Feb. Holiday sale ends 3rd of March. Min spend and ATL protected. T's and C's apply.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 8 years running. Octopus Energy.
I'm Leah and this is my NHS story. I could just feel my body didn't feel right and my GP referred me to CDC. Had some blood tests done and within 24 hours I had my results. And that just reassured me that I was being taken seriously.
The government is opening new community diagnostic centres with many already available 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. So the NHS can be there for all of us when we need it. Find your closest one at gov.uk/NHS Fit for the Future. Available England-wide.
At Lidl, there's always more to value. Like switching from Sainsbury's to Lidl and saving £33 on this week's big shop at lidl.co.uk/save. Which means a stocked-up fridge of big brands, award-winning own brands, and your fresh five a day with extra helpings encouraged. Lidl, more to value.
Prices check 26th of the first 26. Sainsbury's also sell other products. See online for more details.
The Virgin Atlantic holiday sale is now on. This is your sign to dive into the crystal water of an ancient cave pool in Mexico. Or dry off in the sun on a white sand beach in the Maldives. Or pour yourself into the culture and chaos of a night market in Thailand. Seize the sale. Book in store and online at Virgin Atlantic Holidays. Selected travel dates apply. For T's and C's, visit virginatlantic.com/terms.
Selling your car can be super simple if you choose We Buy Any Car, because they sort out any outstanding finance for you. Just bring along your final settlement agreement. If only they could make parallel parking simpler.
To the right a bit, mate. Yeah, back a bit more. Oh, no, too far.
We Buy Any Car, selling made simple. To sell your car today, enter your reg number now at webuyanycar.com.
This is 40-year-old Kathy, mother of two and self-confessed telly addict.
Ready? Oh, look at you. That's brilliant. Well done.
This is also Kathy, working as part of a team to keep things calm at her local prison.
Listen, speak to me.
And helping someone's son write his first letter home in 8 months.
Well done. You should be really proud.
Thank you, miss.
An extraordinary job done by someone like you. Search prison jobs now.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Right, 10 minutes before 9. You all want to talk about the bus driver. Janet will be the first call. But Stuart in Woodford, let's round off our conversation about those crime stats, those crime statistics. Your point on that. Good morning.
Morning, Nick. First time caller.
Good to
have
you on,
sir. Great show, by the way.
Thank you.
I mean, in terms of the boat people, I think it's a ridiculous argument. But there is a perfect storm brewing, don't you think, that's... There's more mental health issues.
The perfect
there's a lot
storm,
of stress out there.
Perfect storm in what way?
In terms of the dangers to girls and women in particular in our society. And we are trying, obviously, the government and many organisations are trying to put in place, you know, better policing, tougher laws, all kinds of CCTV. Mm-hmm. There's even discussion of women's only carriages.
Yes.
But it's not doing enough quick enough. My suggestion is simply this, and it's been scoffed at before, but we need to go into schools and we need to teach the right type of self-defense training to young girls. We need to get them started at an early age and show them how they can develop skills.
Aren't we giving that in, will build... Stuart? Isn't that that's effectively saying, look, we can't stop the crime, so we better just protect those who might be the victims. I'm a bit nervous about that, Stuart.
But that's the thing, it closes down the possibility of empowering women. Because here's the thing, when you stick with that argument, it's like, well, why should we, you know, why should women have to take responsibility for what these terrible men are doing? And it's absolutely wrong, I know that, but it shuts down the opportunity for us to restore women's power.
Would you want your wife or your daughter or your sister to have done that as a young girl?
Nick, I am a martial art expert for 43 years. I teach self-defense, okay? I trained 7 years in Japan where they teach it in the curriculum sometimes. Now, what self-defense does isn't about teaching people to physically knock people down. It's about giving them the confidence and capability that allows them to enhance their voice. Because if their voice is powerful or their stance is powerful, maybe 90% of the time that's all it takes to shut it down.
Stuart, I have enjoyed our conversation. Thank you. Best wishes to your family. We're coming to this hero bus driver now, though, if we can. 7 minutes before nine is the time. Martin Flack says the driver of the bus had secured the driver protection door on the bus. No access to the cab without a special key. And Leonora makes the same point. There's no keys on a bus. When a driver jumps out the cab, the door locks behind him. Only the driver has the key for the cab door. So the idea that I said that someone could jump in the bus is... I apologise, I'm not a bus driver, I didn't realise. Janet in Bristol. The bullet or a bonus for this man? Good morning.
Oh, give him a bonus, Nick. I called, actually, just to make the point that you've just made. I listened to the interview.
Right.
And he made that very clear. He had to leave the doors open because people were getting in and off.
Yes,
but he had this implement. He was the only one who could open the cab.
Right.
And I just think... box tickers should probably he transgressed the rules strictly, but people should take a little bit of latitude. The broader picture here.
The Conservatives, the Shadow Justice Minister Kieran Mullen says the man should get his job back. This is not justice. Should Metroline give him his job back?
If he wants it, I wouldn't want it.
Fair point, Janet. Thank you, Tony and Barry. A bonus or the bullet? Which is it? Morning.
A bonus. It happened with me, same sort of thing, 20 years ago. Ooh. A chap reversed into a coach.
We're going to have to... I'm sorry, we were not going to be able to hear that. Tony, talk to one of my colleagues. James in Beckenham. James, bonus or the bullet? Which should it be? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Bonus. The guy's an absolute hero, yeah. And just to make it clear... what a previous caller said, nobody could have ridden the bus.
No, I realise that. I'm sorry. I was totally ignorant about buses. I apologise for a second time. Yep.
No, the guy's an absolute hero. I mean, too often people get away with this sort of thing. He's done a fantastic job, and I think he's been treated appallingly, quite honestly.
Totally agree with you. Let's hope Metro Line rethink it. Thank you, James. Richard in Maidstone. Which is it for you, Richard? Good morning.
Well, good morning. It's definitely a bonus for me. We've spoken lots of times. I was a police officer in London for 37 years.
Yep.
Yes. Dealt with incidents like this where members of the public have dived out where they've seen something, and they hold heroic status, but they really do. He didn't know whether or not this guy was armed with a knife or anything like that, which has got to be a default position that you've got to assume he has.
Richard, as a police officer, how crucial... how important, if you were investigating this incident, was it that the thief, or the would-be thief, threw the first, or attempted to throw the first punch?
Nick, I'm afraid I'm losing you. It's a terrible line.
Can you hear me, Richard? Hey. No? All right. Hopefully, Richard, if you can hear me, thank you. I will move on. Thank you, Richard. In fact, the line's dropped completely. Tony and Barry. Now, what was it you were saying, sir? Good morning.
Right. It happened, same sort of thing happened with me.
Right.
About 20 years ago. A car reversed into my coach, smashed the front end and smashed the car.
Right.
He took off and he turned down a dead-end street.
Right.
I blocked the street off with the coach. He came up and I took the keys out, phoned the police, and the bloke stolen the car, had no license, no insurance.
Right.
And I had the rollicking off the firm for 2 weeks.
No.
Oh, yeah.
But they didn't take your job away, though, Tony.
No, they didn't. But they weren't happy. They were taking the robber's side.
Right, OK, got it. You're a coach driver in Barry. You don't work for Dave, do you? Dave's coaches.
Oh, Dave, no, that's a shackle old Rackleford.
All right, I don't know what he said. Tony, have a good one. Thank you. He didn't say anything offensive. If he did, I do apologise because I couldn't hear. 329, let's pick up on what you're saying on social media. Jane, I've been listening in about the heroic actions of the bus driver. Half an hour previously, we heard Tate's mother baffled by the fact no staff stood up for her son during this rogue operation by that doctor for fear of their jobs. The bus driver stood up for a member of the public and got fired. Whose side is the law on? Similar reaction from Lee. Give this man a leg up. People like Mark should be supported all the way. He's an example. He should never have been sacked. Was a reason ever given for that decision? Well, yes, it was desertion of the bus, and also the safety of passengers is of paramount importance. So I suppose they're leaving the bus doors open. Does that mean he's left people vulnerable? Well, yes, but also it means they can get off if they want to. Alistair's in Chepstow. Alistair, your reaction to this story. Good morning.
Well, this sort of thing won't happen again because people are concerned about losing their jobs. So I think it's great that you did that. But, you know, the world we live in now, it's just it enables people to continue to commit these sort of crimes. So the so what from that is, you know, we need to change our culture a bit, don't we?
If the Conservatives get their way and Metro Line were to offer him his job back, if you were that bus driver, if you were Mark here, would you take the job back or would you say, stick it, thanks. Stick it up your bus exhaust pipe.
I don't know his situation. I don't know his, you know.
He's working as a barman now, so he's in employment, yeah.
So, I'd probably take my job back.
You would, okay. Well,
yeah, working at a bar is probably, you know, I'll tell you.
Yeah, it's grim, isn't it? Well, driving a bus is damn hard work, though, I imagine. Alistair, thank you. I just want to check I can read your name. Oh, but there'll be lots of people. Yeah, Paul. I work for Metro Line. They never backed the driver up. Driver at our garage was assaulted by a group of teenagers when he had to cut his journey short. All refused to get off the bus when he got out the cab to ask them to leave. They spat in his face, punched him, did nothing to him at all. Happened to him again a couple of weeks later. Teenagers walking towards him, pushed them away. They complained to Metro Line. He got suspended for 3 weeks. He's now thinking of giving up. Metro Line, if you are listening, do please give us a call because there is growing anger, political anger as well, at this appalling decision. I take on board, absolutely, literally on board, the safety of the people on the bus. But we've now learned no one was going to be able to nick the bus. People could get on and off the bus. And this man, actually, in the views of everyone here, is a hero. You've got this wrong. Get him back on the bus if he's willing to get there. After the news, we will move on.
Everybody has a summer holiday. Doing things they always wanted to.
Now this, as the number of term time school holiday fines hits another record high. What don't you understand about the idea that your children has to attend school between certain dates? Plus, back to China, that trip by Sakir starting to reach its concluding stages. But what do Chinese folk make of it who are living here in the UK? And the launch of an important veterans platform to offer better, or in some cases some, healthcare and a well-being service. We're talking one of the people who's putting that together. Those stories and more will follow the 9 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 9 o'clock, ministers are playing down Donald Trump's claim that it's dangerous for the UK to seek closer ties with China. Sir Keir Starmer is currently in the country to strengthen economic ties with Beijing. Last week, Mr. Trump threatened Canada with new tariffs if it went ahead with a trade deal with China. But the Trade Minister, Sir Chris Bryant, has told Nick the UK has to plough its own course.
We need to go into our relationship with China with our eyes wide open. They're our fourth biggest export market. We've done really well for Scotch whisky. I didn't think we'd be able to secure this. Getting tariffs down from 10% to 5%, that's worth £250 million over the next few years.
Right. It's understood Downing Street made Washington aware of the trip and its objectives in advance. Two British Army officers are to face a court-martial over the handling of a sexual assault case. Gunner Jaisley Beck, who was 19, took her own life in 2021 after she was attacked by a senior colleague. An inquest heard the Army's handling of her complaint played a part in her death. A 7-year-old British girl is missing from a beach in Morocco. It's understood she was swept away by a wave while sitting on rocks with her parents in Casablanca on Wednesday. The Foreign Office says it is supporting her family. The Conservatives are calling for a bus driver to get his job back after he was sacked for chasing down a robber. Mark Heher knocked the man out after he stole a passenger's necklace in London in 2024. Police found that he used proportionate force, but the bus firm Metroline decided he failed to protect customers. Mr. Heher called LBC yesterday to explain his version of events.
After about 200 metres, I caught the guy. We had a bit of a scuffle. He wasn't getting away, so he handed me back the necklace. I walked back to the bus, I handed the necklace to the girl, and someone said, he's coming behind you. So I turned around, and the girl is clearly on CCTV, putting her hand up. She's distressed, she's telling him to go away. I stood between them, because she's nervous. And next thing, the guy, as is clearly shown on CCTV, went to throw a left punch, and I met him with a right punch.
Millions of low-income families will continue to receive the Warm Home discount for the rest of the decade. The government has agreed to extend the £150 off energy bills every winter until 2031. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up a point at 10,174. The pound buys $1.37 and €1.15. LBC weather, cloudy for most, with patchy rain and hill snow in the north. Heavy rain and strong winds for the south and west, a high of 11 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
How would you describe McCain vibes?
I would reckon it's like a crisp and a chip. If they had a baby, do you know what I mean?
Right, no more.
A chip. And a crisp.
Combination.
It's got crisp ancestry, but it's a chip.
Like a hot chip crisp combo thingy? Yeah? Pure poetry, that was.
McCain vibes. Our chip crisp combo hot snack thingies. In a freezer aisle near you.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, 3 minutes after nine, Friday, January the 30th. Coming up in this hour, the number of term time school holiday fines hits another record high. Parents, mum, dad, what don't you get? The dates are set out on the school calendar or the email or the letter. The child has to be in between this date and that date. I know you're going to talk about how holiday firms put the prices up, but is that a justification? Plus, the launch for military veterans of a new platform to help with healthcare and well-being. We'll speak with one of the originators of that. Is baldness a disability in women? I'm so sorry. Is baldness in women a disability? Well, a judge has had to rule after a fight with a tax man, or tax woman in this case. But is baldness, if you are a woman and you suffered from or are suffering with baldness, would you class it as a disability? And I had the idea yesterday that we should find out what Chinese people living here in the UK make of Sir Keir Starmer going 5,000 miles away to do a billion-pound deal with the President Xi. So I said to my colleague, LBC's Henry Riley, there's only one way to find out. Get in and among the good folk of Chinatown and see what they make of it. Well, on the face of it, it seemed like a good idea, but it didn't quite go to plan.
Can I ask you a question for LBC Radio? No?
Oh, okay. Fine.
This is hard. I'm asking people questions for a radio station.
I'm not going to radio station.
No? Okay.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
So, did Henry Riley get to put a report together? There's only one way to find out. Stay tuned, we'll have more on that. Now, a record number of school holiday fines were issued in England last year. A whisker under half a million. 459,288 school holiday fines. Goodness knows what money that would have brought in. That's an increase of 4% from the previous year and accounted for 93% of all fines issued for unauthorised school absence. In the first set of data issued, which includes a change in the rules on holiday fines from 2024, that increased the value of each fine from £60 to £80 per parent per child. The government maintains fines, and I quote, have a vital place in our system. Term time holidays can affect entire classes due to missed learning. Now, if it's important to you, the region with the highest rate of penalty notices is Yorkshire and the Humber, while the lowest, interestingly enough, is here in London. Right, enough of the facts. Let's get some of what this actually means for the pupils, and indeed for the parents. Natalie Elliott is a mum. She lives in Derbyshire. and she leads the Fight School Fines campaign and joins me now. Natalie, can I start by calling you Natalie, or do you prefer Mrs. Elliot, or what do you...
No, Natalie's fine, yeah, thank you.
Why do you want to fight the fines, Natalie?
Because they are completely unfair and inaccurate. That quote that you've just quoted, 93% of unauthorised absences, the fines were issued for holidays, is completely unreliable. The data is only reliable if the information that is being inputted into the system is correct. Mm-hmm. And from doing this campaign, we've seen far too many schools marking things like sickness, bereavement, family emergencies as unauthorised. Now, there's one story in particular that I would like to tell from a lady in Stockton-on-Tees, where she was fined when she took her children on a term time break. But it's not all as it seems, and this is what the message that I'm trying to get out there. It's not as simple as, you know, I think this view that has been portrayed is that parents are reckless, they're irresponsible, they're going on an all-inclusive holiday, they're sticking the children in a kids club and sitting on a sun lounger sipping cocktails.
That, well, in many cases, they are, of course, Natalie.
Well, some do, but, yes. You know... But
what's
it's
the story
not
you want to tell from the mum in Stockton-on-Tees?
So, a mum last year in Stockton-on-Tees, she was fined when she took her son, Riley, who was 14, on a term time break to Butlins. Mm-hmm. This isn't because she wanted to save a few quid. It's because her older son, Zach, has terminal cancer. He has had cancer since he was 12. He's now 17. They went on holiday in the school holiday, so they did things right. But due to his treatment, Zach fell poorly and he was admitted to hospital. Butlin showed compassion and empathy and offered her another break at a heavy discount when Zach was more stable.
Right.
The school knew the full circumstances, yes, but still referred to the local authority to issue a fixed penalty notice.
Well, I mean, I think this is a very good example, but you'd need a heart of granite, obviously, not to have sympathy for that mother. But you're not suggesting that all 459,288 cases are like that unfortunate lad, are you?
No, I'm not suggesting that at all.
So in some instances, there are people who take this because they can avail themselves of cheaper holidays, yeah, and it impacts their child's learning, no?
No, well, what impacts learning is the Department for Education not putting needs in there, supporting the children's needs, for example. How many children are out of school altogether because schools and LAs cannot meet need?
Yes.
That figure is never talked about. Instead, the blame is put onto the parent. It's
well, the
not
child
the parents
can't go on holiday on his or her own, can they?
No, but what I'm saying is there's a lot more failures within education than parents taking their children out for a week or two in the term time.
A week the or failures, two? You don't think a two-week holiday during term time is actually that is bad parenting?
No, it's not, Nick. Not at all.
For a child to miss 2 weeks of his or her education is not...
No, what about before 2013?
I don't know.
That used to happen. Before 2013, parents used to be able to take the children without any fines. Now, all of a sudden, it seems a huge problem. Well, that, again, that's a problem.
It is. 459,288 problem.
Nick, if it really was a problem, why in the last week of term, at Christmas... summer holidays, Easter, do most children do nothing? They watch films, they stick them in front of a TV.
I have to say that the school that I attended, we didn't have any of that. I'm sure that's true in other schools. And
yeah, but you went to a private school, you know, that's completely different, isn't it?
I have to say I don't know because I didn't attend a state school. Yeah. But let's turn to a teacher. Natalie, thank you. Natalie Elliott runs the Fight School Fines campaign and asks very justified questions. Natalie, thank you. Good luck with your children's education. Let's turn to Darren Morgan, head teacher of King's Road Primary School in Trafford, which I assume is in Manchester, because that's where I am, Trafford, to be. I hope I've got that right. Otherwise, I'll stay behind for school class geography lessons. And he joins me now. Let's put to you that point, then. Come on, you're allowed sometimes for the last few days at school to do jigsaw puzzles or whatever it might be. What's the difference if they want to go away on holiday to Australia, Brazil or Jamaica? Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I think that's a really good point from Natalie, and it's one that I find hard to defend. So I guess it's not uniform across all schools. Some schools do that. And they do that, I guess, because to celebrate Christmas and the end of term and that kind of stuff. I would say during term time, schools do work very intensely. And I guess it's I mean, I'm just trying to have to defend that, but you're right. Nasty makes a valid point.
Okay, but a parent comes to you later today or one of your colleagues and says, we're going to have a really educational trip. We're going to go through Kenya. We're going on safari. But we're going to have a week off school, Mr. Morgan, or to another teacher. Your reaction?
Yeah, I guess it depends on the circumstance. So, again, some schools would permit day trips and things like that. And there is the argument about lost learning, which I think is a valid argument. The argument about mental and emotional health, and I think they're valid arguments too. I think the cost of holidays, all of that kind of stuff which you alluded to, are also valid arguments. But it's a complicated issue. And I guess the point I would like to make to Natalie and the listeners is school leaders are under immense pressure. So I would imagine that there'll be some, but most school leaders don't want to find parents. And we don't get that money back in our budget. But there's pressure from the DfE and Ofsted. So head teachers are human beings. And if I may give an example, if that's okay.
Please,
so
the new please, yeah.
The new Ofsted criteria with this kind of report card thing, I think there's about 8 different areas. Attendance and behaviour has been grouped together. So no matter how good behaviour is, your attendance can bring that level down, and that's really tough for schools to take. And the middle section of that, so what was formerly good is now called strong, and the middle section of that, and the Ofsted criteria, says that the school has to have average attendance or improving. So that's why school leaders are in some instances finding it's because of the pressure they're under to raise attendance.
Lastly, how does that pressure show itself, Mr. Morgan? Do you have to do sort of monthly reports of how many children have been absent or term reports? What is the mechanic?
So that would depend on the local authority. So the Department for Education has now given every school an attendance target.
I see.
And certainly in my case, it's not going to be achieved. And then local authorities would interpret that. So in my local authority, which is a great local authority, those schools who are in danger and who have low attendance, then we are put under immense pressure from the leaders of the local authority.
Grateful for your time. I'll let you get back to teaching. That's what you went into the profession for, not talking to me. Darren Morgan, head teacher of King's Road Primary School in Trafford, Manchester. Thank you for that. Let's get straight to your calls. John is in Ferndown. John, what's your story on this? This concerns your daughter, your grandchildren, I assume. Good morning.
Yes, it does, yeah. Good morning. Anyway, I think a lot of this is down to the travel companies. Yeah, my daughter took 3 grandchildren out of school 10 days before the end of term.
Good gracious.
And it saved her over £900, right, which is a darn sight cheaper, yeah, than paying the fees. And the schools work on the principle. Not every school charges the fee. It's up to the school whether they want to charge it.
What age were those 3 grandchildren?
I've got a 14-year-old grandson,
yeah,
a 12-year-old granddaughter, and a 6-year-old granddaughter. Yeah.
Right. That 14-year-old is approaching their GCSEs. Is how wise?
Yes,
is it to
that's
take
right.
10 but, days out of school.
Yeah, she informed them that she was going to take him out. He went on holiday with a laptop and continued on holiday to do all his coursework for a couple of hours a day.
Yeah, I mean, but John, if he had a problem with the subject, let's say he didn't understand something to do with chemistry, he's not got the teacher where he can say, excuse me, I don't understand the chemical algebra, whatever it might be, the chemical formulation.
I know what you're saying there, but my grandson's a very intelligent child. He's very good at chemistry and et cetera, et cetera.
All right, okay.
Yeah, and he got through it. And as I'm saying,
lastly, John, the most important thing is your grandchildren and your family's health and well-being, and of course, but did you not think, deep down in your heart, it's a little bit wrong? 10 days?
No. Really? 10 days, or it's the holiday companies that are calling.
I realise that. Where did they go, by the way? Where was the holiday?
They went to Tenerife.
Went to Tenerife, okay. Which, I mean, I'm sure it's fantastic, but it's not like a sort of educational trip through Kenya or going to see the Aztec drawings or Machu Picchu in Peru. I wish your grandchildren nothing but a successful educational career, John. Thank you. I get your point. I've just got to say I totally disagree with you, but let's see what others make of it. 9:16, LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
A trade minister has told LBC the UK has to plough its own course after President Trump warned that it would be dangerous to increase ties with China. Two British Army officers are to face a court-martial over their handling of a sexual assault case. And the Conservatives are calling for a bus driver to get his job back after he got sacked for chasing down a thief in London. LBC weather, cloudy for most with patchy rain and hill snow in the north, heavy rain and strong winds for the south and west, a high of 11 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Long delays continue on the M11 southbound towards Junction 8 at Bishop Stortford. There's been an accident and there were queues of about 5 miles on the approach. Also delays on the M25 anti-clockwise to Junction 21 at the A405. There's been an accident on the exit slip road, but there are delays back into the main carriageway. The A10's very slow northbound heading up towards the Hartford turnoff. There's been an accident and long queues on the A2 westbound to the Falconwood interchange. Some emergency work are taking place, so only one lane's open and there are delays back past the Danson interchange. The North Circular Road's very busy southbound to the Neasden interchange. Those emergency works are taking place and one lane is closed.
LBC.
Quick question. Well, actually three, but they are quick. One, do you have a car? Two, are you looking to save on your car insurance? And three, do you have a Tesco club card? Well, if you do, you could get exclusive club card prices when you take out or renew a policy with Tesco Car Insurance. And with three levels of cover available, you can choose the one that's right for you. Over 1 million club card members are already saving money. So just search online for Tesco Car Insurance.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. This is LBC.
There's one green bottle sat on my fridge shelf. This green and white bottle that supports my gut health. Beautiful by nature and biotiful by name. It's the tastiest way to up my gut health game.
Biotiful Gut Health. Upgrade your yogurt to the UK's number one kefir and reset your gut health with Biotiful. Kefir is a source of calcium which contributes to the normal function of digestive enzymes. For verification of UK's number one kefir, see biotifulguthealth.com/radio.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted. But then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. Holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
This time last year, Hassan was working in sales and spent his evenings gaming. Now, he's working as a prison officer.
You know what's coming out, it's not worth it. Let's just go in there.
He's tackled cell fires, got through to some of the most challenging prisoners, and helped support their rehabilitation. He's done things he once thought he was never capable of, but he still loves his gaming. An extraordinary job done by someone like you. Search prison jobs now.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973.
Let's talk more about these school holidays. What's that number again? 459,288 fines. That's a lot of money. Christine in Beckenham, are you and I going to disagree? Good morning.
Well, we're only going to disagree if you don't agree with me. So, what I'm going to say...
Why do all women start with a line? That's such a brilliant line.
Oh, first of all, congratulations on your nuptials. I'm sure
thank
you're more
you.
Light-hearted.
Thank you very much. I'm a very lucky bloke. And she's a you very lucky indeed. Woman.
Oh, I'm not too sure about that one. But
well, I'll give it till Christmas. Anyway, Christina, what are we going to say here?
What we're going to say is I have two young boys. One of them was at school in year two, just about to enter the SAT. Mm-hmm. And his head teacher and I had a very good relationship. She explained to me where my son ranked in terms of, you know, SATs are actually for the school, they're not for the child. And
right.
She was very keen for him to achieve, you know, his full potential and get great marks. When I informed her I was going to be taking him out of school, which I did ahead of time, we were going to go away for Easter. Now, we were travelling to Ghana. It was going to be an educational trip, but also his grandfather had a stroke.
It
may have been the only time they met. I was going to do it regardless.
Yep.
When we booked, what the head teacher did, which I really respect, was she gave me about 5 textbooks that she recommended. She gave me different elements of testing to do with my son. And similar to your previous caller, we sat every morning in the blazing heat for 2 hours. I had a large A5 marker board, mm-hmm. and all of the printouts, and we went through it. Now, I understand, and I really appreciate, not every parent has the bandwidth to do something like that.
Sure, yep.
But you have to moderate your decisions based on your circumstances.
Did the head teacher, who sounds really, really good at her job, did she sort of make the point, look, because this is Ghana, because it might be the last opportunity your child has to see their grand... Was that a determining factor, do you think, Christina?
I don't think it was. I think for her, she based it on the fact that it was myself, my son. She knew that I was keen on his education. I wasn't a... You know, some parents can be quite laissez-faire. They don't mind if a child misses, you know, oh, I've got a headache, so we'll take the day off. Oh, I don't really feel very good. Oh, have the day off. Oh, you went to bed late. Have the day off.
So he has a brilliant attendance record prior to this trip to Ghana.
He did. He had a great attendance record. He was a high achiever. I don't think she felt like the lack of schooling was going to deter him because she knew I would still be educating him whilst he was with us.
So in your case, and obviously we've only been chatting for about 2.5 minutes, but I have to say I would be minded to do what your head teacher did, because not least because we have the family dynamic of... Did you say it was his grandparent that had...
It was his grandfather, his paternal grandfather that he was going to visit.
Yeah.
So what I would probably advise, and similar to what you've just mentioned, head teachers have a difficult position, but what they are going to have to remember to do is work with parents, just like parents have to work with teachers. You know, it takes two. So that's just the way I look at it.
Lastly,
and I will be doing it again.
Okay. Is the chap okay? Did he survive his stroke?
He did. He actually had a second one, but we've since been back out to visit him. And you know, he's a fighter. He'll be doing just fine for the next 20 years or so.
We've agreed on this, Christina. We don't need to fall out. Let's celebrate.
I told you.
Yeah, indeed, you did. Let's celebration break out across all of Beckenham. Christina, thank you for that. We'll have more calls on that in a moment. But I want to talk now about a new aspect of a charity, one that we've touched on before, simply by the gentleman, or one of the gentlemen being involved, the co-founder, calling in regularly as a caller. I speak of Hugh of Battersea, actually known as Hugh Andre, co-founder of We Served. And that's where I think I will stop and allow Hugh to explain more. Thanks for coming on, sir. Good to see you. We've talked on a number of occasions about services offered to vets. Just give us a little bit of background on We Served and then what you're doing moving forward. Morning, Hugh.
Morning, Nick. Thank you for having me. We Served is an online platform for veterans and up to 5 members of their family. For many years now, we know that when veterans leave the armed forces, the transition is often really challenging. And we're talking about young men and women who go straight from school, if that, age 16, and the rest of their lives, you know, it's the buses there, the armory opens there, you've got to be on the ranges then, there's your packed lunch, it's disgusting, carry on shooting, get back on the bus, you know, the cookhouse is open, have a beer and go to bed. They sort of, you know, they know what they're doing throughout the day. And all of a sudden, they find themselves in Civvy Street. And not only do they need jobs, you know, they need healthcare provision, they need somewhere to live, etc. They've also lost their whole sense of community, their sense of purpose, their sense of belonging. So We Served is effectively, it's a one-stop shop, which we released last year with the employment piece. And we have a job board that now has over 1,200 vacancies on it.
Brilliant.
For veterans and their family members. The next the release is today. And today's a big one for us for a number of reasons. Today, we're releasing our healthcare and wellbeing platform. What this now allows a veteran or their family members to do is to access 3 main clinical pathways. That's physical. If they have physical ailments that are, you know, a result of their military service, not falling off their bicycle yesterday, but a result of their military service. If they have mental health challenges, and of course, preventative. So by I mean preventative, we offer a 24/7 GP service. They can get a doctor's appointment today. We're launching, I mean, we're still, you know, quite a small company. We've taken no taxpayers' money. We've taken no charitable money. This has been funded by private investors and, may I also say, 68 veterans, because they know this is required. So today we're launching with OpRestore, which is the NHS's pathway for veterans with physical injuries. We're launching our 24/7 GP service, and we're launching a wonderful company called Wobble, which was actually set up by a young man who had challenges himself, but he's got 150 fully qualified mental health counsellors on his platform. So, you know, my daughter can choose which counsellor she wants, get the support she wants, all online. And I would hasten to add, Nick, we're doing this very much in collaboration and partnership with the NHS. Mm-hmm. So next week we'll be launching Op Courage. And we've got more, we've got about three or four products every month between now and August coming online. And may I just say, the one thing which we're working on and we're getting close to is dental provision.
Right. Wow. For veterans listening now or their families, how do they get more details, Hugh?
It's weserved.com. Yeah, weserved.com, and they register for free. And we also have opened it up to members serving of the armed forces, because families in the armed forces today get no medical cover. They get no healthcare support. You know, and we know reason why, lack of funding, lack of resource. So, you know, this is really about, this is by veterans for veterans.
All right. Lastly, how popular has it proved? Can you give us an idea of members or however you count?
Yes, we can. In the first 16 weeks, we've already had 20,000 members join.
Wow.
And on Friday, when Brigadier Ed Butler, our chair, demanded an apology from Donald Trump, we had over his posting received over 3 million views and clicks.
Wow. Hugh, you know I don't say this lightly. Any more help I can give you, I am an email away. I wish you the best of luck today with you and your co-founder, Hugh Andre, co-founder of We Served, going online then with those three areas, the physical help, the mental health help, the preventative assistance as well. We Served, the online platform. Hugh, thank you, sport. Have a good weekend. Best of the family. Let's come back to our conversation about school holidays. Terry's in Broxbourne. We're hanging on the line. Terry, what's the story? This is about your son. Is that right? Good morning.
That's right, yeah. It probably applies to a lot of people. He works for one of the emergency services. I'm not going to say whom.
Okay.
There's two things. Sometimes he's not allowed to have a break in the school holidays, and then the next one is cost. So the last time he took our granddaughter out for 4 days... It was a week before the schools actually broke up, and it was actually 4 days out of school because one day it was a school inset day.
Did was he fined?
They were going to fine it. They said they were. And he said fine because the difference between those 2 weeks was £700.
Right, I see.
And that's in a basic caravan holiday in Norfolk. He said fine because I can afford that £80, you know, it's cheaper than £600 more. He did question about some of the other children who had been taken out for up to 2 weeks, and they said, oh, well, that's their heritage, they're going back to their country to see the heritage. So he said, well, I'm having a heritage holiday, he's taking my daughter to Norfolk to learn about the heritage of Norfolk.
Yeah, but that's obviously not the same, of course, is it, as visiting Look, again, and I'm glad you've made me aware of this, because if I was a head teacher and your son said, look, here's my roster, I'm a fireman, I'm an ambulance driver, I'm a police officer, I cannot take, I would say, right, absolutely, so, and I'm going to call your son Terry as well. Terry, you're right, you've got to have your holiday now, but I want to go caravanning in Norfolk. I don't know if I could take the same view, Terry, to be honest with you, sir.
Well, I don't know. I mean, some of them have actually had 2 weeks off in England.
2 weeks off in England.
Yeah, and pay the fine. To me, that is insane.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. But, again, a bit like the other example, if there are mitigating circumstances, such as the roster does not permit a holiday during school holidays, then I think you have to be flexible. Terry, best wishes to your grandchildren. Thank you for that, grandson, and other grandchildren. Thank you for that. Coming up after this, we will continue this conversation. Baldness in women is a disability. If you are a woman and you've had it or you are suffering with baldness, it's actually it's a row involving the taxman, believe it or not. But the impact, we'll look at that. It's 9:30, Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, on LBC. News time, Dominic Ellis.
A trade minister has pushed back on President Trump's claim it would be dangerous for the UK to strengthen ties with China. Chris Bryant has told Nick the UK has to plough its own course with Beijing. Two British Army officers are to face a court-martial over the handling of a sexual assault case. Gunner Jaisley Beck, who was 19, took her own life in 2021 after she was attacked by a senior colleague. And the Conservatives are calling for a bus driver to get his job back after he was sacked for chasing down a robber. Mark Heehere knocked out the man after he stole a passenger's necklace in northwest London in 2024. LBC weather cloudy for most, with patchy rain and hill snow in the north, heavy rain and strong winds for the south and west, a high of 11 degrees.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall.
President Trump was elected for the second time. Many figures in British politics, especially on the right, welcomed his election because they said it would be a good thing for our country and it would be a good thing for the West. Since then, he has threatened to invade Greenland. He's undermined a NATO alliance. He's cozied up to President Putin. He's now insulted our brave soldiers and veterans in Afghanistan. Do you still think that it was a good thing he was elected?
He's made NATO look at itself and effectively say, step up, put your resources
completely
in.
Completely undermined it.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall. Sunday morning from 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
To be or not to be.
Right now we're offering a range of incentives across Audi models.
That is the...
But only until the 28th of February.
The,
So stop whatever you're doing.
I'll be right back. Just carry on without me.
And find yours online or at your local Audi centre. Audi. Vorsprung durch Technik. Terms and conditions apply. Selected models, retail customers and participating Audi centres only.
Calling all young creatives. It's time to get prepped for the art and design industry. And where better than Global Academy? Here's Keo, an art and design student in year 12.
As an art student, we get the chance to work on our own pieces, either in the studio or using the digital software. Some of my work has also been shown in galleries, and last week I got the chance to attend a design agency to learn more about my future career.
Global Academy. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12. GlobalAcademy.com.
Things are really heating up in the country's smallest house.
Dad! Squealed Mia Mouse.
We could save around £100 by setting the boiler flow temperature to 60 degrees.
And turning radiators down in rooms we don't use.
Interrupted Mo.
Yes, Mo.
Turn them down, not off, said Mia.
Plus finding and blocking drafts,
said Mo.
Should save enough to increase our allowance.
A little saves a lot. You could save around £100 a year off your energy bills with three tips at gov.uk/cleanenergy.
Quick question. Well, actually three, but they are quick. One, do you have a car? Two, are you looking to save on your car insurance? And three, do you have a Tesco club card? Well, if you do, you could get exclusive club card prices when you take out or renew a policy with Tesco car insurance. And with three levels of cover available, you can choose the one that's right for you. Over a million club card members are already saving money. So just search online for Tesco car insurance.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
This is an interesting conversation. And all the years I've been doing this, I don't... And if you can point out that I'm wrong, I apologise in advance. I don't think I've ever talked about female baldness. But it is a disability, judges have ruled. Now, this is an intriguing one, actually, because it involves a battle with, they say, the tax man. Plenty of women. Could be the tax woman as well. Tax authorities, let's say that. A specialist wig company, Mark Glenn Limited, argued that because its products were medical aids, HMRC, his major revenue cousin, had been wrong to charge VAT, so they went to court. The battle was worth £280,000 that they, the company Mark Glenn Limited, said should not have been applied and been wrong to charge VAT due to it being a medical aid. Now, the tax authorities said their wigs were cosmetic, but judges in the tax chamber of the upper tribunal have agreed that for female customers, and they use the words here, suffering from baldness, so that's not my word, if you find it offensive, it is a disability. This has been hailed as a groundbreaking decision by Judge Swami Raghavan and Judge Kevin Poole, saying, we conclude severe hair loss in women constitute an impairment that adversely affects the ability to carry out everyday activities. Going on, this is not because hair loss physically prevents participation in such activities, but because of the distress that would ordinarily be experienced by a woman with severe hair loss if no steps were taken to conceal it. So what is the reality? Well, Izzy is in Sutton. Izzy, this affects you, this conversation. How are you? What's happened? Good morning.
Yes. Hi, Nick. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling in.
So, both me and my sister, it's quite a rare case, really. We both suffer with alopecia totalis, so that's everything. Lost hair, lost eyebrows, eyelashes, not a single hair on my body.
Good Lord.
And
so not, nothing
may,
on your arms, not even little... My godfathers. Wrong.
No,
how
I
rare
know,
is this?
Extremely rare, especially rare when it's happened in two sisters. And it's pretty much devastated me and my sister's lives. My sister went through it 3 years ago, and I watched on, like, heart and heartbreak and despair for her.
Let's just slow down. How old were you when it started, and how long did it take, and how old was your sister when it started?
So my sister lost it about 3 years ago, so she must have been late 20s.
Yeah.
Myself, it's been in the last 6 months, and it's just gone, completely gone. Eyelashes, everything.
How old are you, can I ask, Izzy? Do you mind?
Yeah, no problem. I actually turned 33 the other day.
32, did you say? 32 the other
33.
Day. 33. Right, yeah. Okay. What's the impact been on your life?
So this is the thing. It's obviously it's very distressing because, you know, think of it when you go and get a bad haircut. It's not great. But no. To wake up, look in the mirror, you're totally bald. I don't recognise myself anymore. Oh. Honestly, it's like looking in the mirror and seeing an alien.
Oh, you poor girl. Oh my God.
I joke to my boyfriend, I do genuinely look like Greg Wallace in my glasses. It's one of those. Luckily, Lord. I've got a very, very supportive partner.
Yeah.
And it's his birthday, I should say, so shout out to Jov.
Yes, absolutely. But, what did you say his name is? Do you say Joss?
Jov.
Okay. Yep.
But it's not just the physical, you know. It is also... I've got no eyelashes, so I get grit in my eyes all the time, and it's really uncomfortable. I can't regulate my body temperature. I'm constantly freezing in bed at night. You know, I've got no hair on my nose, up my nostrils, so I'm constantly got a runny nose. It's all these little things that we take for granted when you have hair, and you don't realise when you lose it, actually how uncomfortable it is.
Is it genetic? Did mum have hair issues?
Unfortunately, yeah. My dad had alopecia, but just small patches. But for some reason for us, it's just triggered into full-blown alopecia totalis.
Do you wear a wig?
I do. It's very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. It's very itchy.
Right, okay.
And I haven't really had any support from the NHS. And, you know, this is where I do think it is a disability because... You know, how are we meant to go out there looking up every day and be normal?
I don't want to cause extra distress, but what has been the most distressing part of it all?
It's just the mental aspect. Every day getting up, looking in the mirror, and it's oh my God, I can't believe this. I can't believe this is the state.
And I have to ask, although I think I know the answer, there's no treatment we can't sort of give you, I don't know, some kind of drugs or something.
Yeah, there is this, like,
steroids,
new drug, and it's called I've had multiple steroids injected into my head hundreds of times, and it's not really done anything. Right. It's just given me terrible headaches. But there is a new drug, it's a JAK inhibitor drug, but it's very new and it basically totally suppresses your immune system. So, you know, there are some really intense side effects, you know, and it can increase your risk of cancer, heart disease, all these other things. So as well, I haven't had children yet. I'm desperate for children and it could affect fertility. So it's not something I want to go down until I've had children.
What is a JAK inhibitor? Sorry, I'm not familiar with
it. A JAK inhibitor. Oh, good question. This is getting science-y now. It basically... So you're asking the wrong person, but it stops your immune system. It suppresses your immune system.
Right.
So it heightens down because essentially what alopecia is, it's attacking your hair follicles and killing them, destroying them, seeing them as foreign objects. So that is what a JAK inhibitor does. It stops your body from attacking itself.
Well, I mean, you fulfilled everything that the judges say because it can, because the distress would ordinarily be experienced by a woman, the distress arises from the cultural significance of hair to female identity, societal expectations regarding appearance and the different standards applied to women. That's in very legalese. You've put it in everyday terms, haven't you? That's the reality for you.
Absolutely. Every day.
Okay, he sounds a smashing bloke. Give another shout. I don't normally do these shout-outs, but have a birthday shout-out for Jov. Come on, tell us why you love Jov.
Oh, he's so supportive. He's not cared once that I've lost my hair. He still loves me, and he's so kind and caring, and he's just the best.
Oh, you're melting all our hearts. Have a great day. Happy birthday, Jov. Izzy, best of luck to you. Thanks for being so candid. Best of luck to you, Mellob. Laura in Warwick. Laura, what's your story? Good morning.
Hi, Nick. So I've had alopecia for 10 years. It's my scalp hair.
Right.
And I know your caller, Izzy, said that she hadn't had that much support from the NHS, but throughout my 10 years, I've had absolutely amazing support. I've had so many different treatments, some which have been horrific.
Do you mind my asking, have you got eyebrows and hair in your nose?
I don't like to correct that lady, but Totalis is just scalp hair. It sounds like her and her sister have got Universalis, which is the whole body hair.
Right.
Totalis is scalp. So, you know, and actually, you know, I have had people say, oh, but don't worry, at least you've got your eyebrows.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, people do mean well, but I think as well, for me, it has affected relationships because these days people do the Instagram era, you know, Love Island. Everyone's got lovely locks of hair. And there's me, and I still look in the mirror and I'm like, would people think I'm a boy if I took my hair off?
Right. So you wear a wig, do you?
I do, yeah. I didn't used to wear wigs, but I used to live in Birmingham where nobody really cared, and now when I moved back to Warwick, where I'm from, people stare, or some people...
So let's just break that down. Do you think, because of the size of Birmingham being, I think, the second or third largest city in the whole of England, it's more rural.
People didn't really care, you know, and here, you know, people have come up to me saying, oh, how's your treatment going?
Oh, Lord.
Because they think I've got cancer.
Of course.
And then it makes me feel absolutely terrible and guilty because, you know, then I think, oh, well, it is only just hair, but...
Now, Izzy has got lovely Jov in her life. Do you have a man or woman in your life?
I don't know.
Right.
But people deal with it in different ways. For me, it's a confidence thing. You know, I never know when's the right time to tell a partner. Do you, you know, now with all online dating, you know, it is very aesthetic, Kevin.
And have there been, and I fear I know the answer of it, have there been occasions when you've told a possible boyfriend, look, I need to let you know I'm actually wearing a wig, that they've sort of moved away, as it were?
Actually, not.
Oh, good.
It's been totally my, you know, my worry. Luckily, most men have been very, you know, oh, I don't care.
It's
just been my, you know, in my brain. But...
Right.
It still, you know, doesn't, still...
Okay, and lastly, much as I asked Izzy, is there treatment or not?
Yeah, there's lots of different treatments about. Alopecia UK had a fantastic, it was a groundbreaking treatment it was rejected by NICE, because they said it doesn't affect you very much. But then Alopecia UK appealed that, and now it is being, it's probably quite selective postcode, but it's the generic name is Litfulo.
Right.
And so if people are suffering with alopecia and going through their consultant at the moment, they may want to...
Just say the name of the drug again slowly, sorry.
It's Litfulo, Litfulo.
Laura, thank you. I have to go. You be well. Best wishes to you and your family and to the next person who comes into your life. Thank you. We may stay with that. But as that trip by Sir Keir Starmer, 5,000 miles to Beijing, comes to an end, what is the reaction of Chinese people in the UK?
As the Prime Minister concludes his visit to China, how has it gone down in the hub of the UK's Chinese community? I'm LBC's Henry Riley in London's Chinatown.
What was Henry's Chinese takeaway? You'll find out after this. 9:45, LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
The Trade Minister has pushed back on President Trump's claim it would be dangerous for the UK to strengthen ties with China. Two British Army officers are to face a court-martial over their handling of a sexual assault case. And the Conservatives are calling for a bus driver to get his job back after he was sacked for chasing down a robber. LBC weather cloudy for most with patchy rain and hill snow in the north, heavy rain and strong winds for the south and west, a high of 11 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. On the trains, Thameslink services are severely disrupted to and from St Pancras to Sutton, three bridges, and also to Bedford. It's because of a track problem. On the roads, the M11 still very busy southbound, heading down towards Junction 8 at Bishop Stortford. Just before the junction, there's been an accident, and it's slow for around 5 miles on the approach. On the M25, anti-clockwise, it's slow at Junction 21A and the A405. That's after an accident. In Bermondsey, Long Lane is closed both ways after an accident. Huge delays on the A2 westbound, heading up towards the Falconwood interchange. They're having to do some emergency works. And also for emergency works, it's on the North Circular Road southbound to the Neasden interchange. One lane stays closed.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, James O'Brien.
I'm not sure I can turn this into a phone-in, but hopefully you can. Why do we know so little about China? Oh, and where on earth do centrist Tories go now?
James O'Brien at 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
Come on, quick, we have to run.
Wait, what? Run to where?
The mini sale event. Keep up.
What? Huh?
The mini sale event. Savings across the range, even on the iconic Mini Cooper.
Whoa!
And that's on top of all existing offers.
Right, let's pick up the pace.
The mini sale event. Amazing offers to act fast on. 5th to the 9th of February at your local mini retailer. Applicable on new mini orders placed during the sale event and registered by the 30th of June 2026. Visit mini.co.uk/sale event.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345-6060-973. LBC.
So, what's on your to-do list today? Why don't you check if you're eligible for pension credit? It tops up your pension income and also opens up help with heating bills, council tax, and more. Search pension credit on gov.uk or call 0800 991234. There's nothing to lose. Check today. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
A Southern train is a place where family moments become more peaceful. Where you can spread out and a game of I Spy gets a scenic upgrade with snacks, stories and the occasional sheep for a bonus point. Less stress, more yes with kids tickets for £2 at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
You want £1 million.
I'd love £1 million.
So you enter the birthday draw and you think of a way to spend £1 million.
I'd buy a really nice suit.
It's a lucky day and you win the birthday draw.
I'm rich!
But instead of a suit, you buy a jetpack. And ruin your sister's wedding.
I'm so sorry, I'll wait for the end!
Is it your lucky day? For your chance to win £1 million, just search the birthday draw and enter now. From Global and ITV. 18 plus UK only, no purchase necessary.
To be or not to be.
Right now, we're offering a range of incentives across Audi models.
That is the...
But only until the 28th of February. So stop whatever you're doing.
I'll be right back. Just carry on without me.
And find yours online or at your local Audi centre. Audi. Vorsprung durch Technik. Terms and conditions apply. Selected models, retail customers and participating Audi centres only.
When you're cozied up on the sofa, when the drama's got you totally hooked, when you're completely engrossed in what's about to happen. Hey, did you eat all these?
Oh, sorry, didn't notice.
Go on, there's more in the kitchen. Nothing brings us together like great TV. And a TV license covers you to watch all TV channels, so you can make the most of those long, dark nights. Search TV license together.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
We talk about hair loss among women after a case went to the VAT tribunal. and a specialist bookmaker's got £280,000 back because the VAT should not have been charged. It's a disability for women, said the judges. Lulu's in Richmond. Lulu, would you agree? Good morning.
Hello. Morning, Nick. Hello. I don't know why it is every time I speak to you, which is three times now. I'm always feeling so nervous. It's ridiculous.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Nothing to be nervous about.
And you support Leicester City, like my Nick, so, you know, there's some things in common.
Well, it's not easy to support.
So I lost my hair. I had long blonde hair, and it started to... I had a hairdresser around. She noticed two patches over my ears in about 2006, I think.
Right, right.
And it went... It literally almost all fell out within about 3 weeks.
God.
And it was... sickening, really sickening.
Yeah.
And I would say, for me, it was debilitating, actually. And we don't really know why it happened, being married to independent film producer, probably running out of money. I don't know. But it was really awful. You just spend your whole time trying to find resolution, spending absolute fortunes. I have eczema and asthma, but my dermatologist, you know, put steroid on my head and it's one of those autoimmune systems.
Can I ask you, without wishing to add to this, what is the biggest hurdle to clear, the most distressing aspect, Lulu?
Well, going out in public with no hair.
Is it?
Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just when you've had hair and then you haven't, and then I did do all the wig stuff and spent fortunes on a wig that was put together wrong, fell apart, had to claim it. Everything, just horrible. And then I found a man who used to work at Vidal Sassoon all the way down in Hampshire, in Eastbourne. And he was at Vidal Sassoon, became a trichologist. He was on the road with Led Zeppelin for 10 years as their hairstylist. And he was kind of big belly, male pattern balding himself, but he had his own products. They are still there, Eukoderm they're called.
Right.
But you'd go down and he'd do a proper treatment and everything like I'd had in other very expensive salons. He didn't charge a lot of money. And I actually think that he helped me. So although it fell out four times over 9 years completely, it stopped falling, touching wood, about 10 years ago.
So where are we now?
So I've got my hair back, and I have two thin patches at the front side of my temples, sort of at the front, which are thinner than the rest of my hair, which sometimes I feel like when I tie my hair back, I feel like I need to do a bit of a comb over.
Well, it's worked well. Well done for that bloke with Led Zeppelin. Lulu, I have to end there. Be well. Thank you. Best wishes to all. Last call on school holidays. Matthew in Stoke-on-Trent. Now, you went to Australia. Is that right, Matthew? When was this?
This was in 2009. So it was 3 weeks that my mum took me out of school for.
Was it to see relatives?
It was, yes. My dad's twin moved over years ago, and it was the first time for us to meet their side of the family.
What was the school's reaction? Did they work with your mum or were they against her?
They worked really well with them. So my mum was very much very involved in my education. She was the type of person that was leading the meetings at parents' evening rather than the teacher leading it. And she requested for homework to be provided for us. And the school ended up providing...
How old were you?
It was year six, so it was just before going into high school.
Roughly 10 then, approximately?
Yeah, around that age, yeah.
And when you came back, did you think it had had any adverse effect on your education? Did you not notice a difference at all? How were you?
It allowed me to be a bit more creative, because alongside the homework, my mum suggested that we keep a journal of doing, like, arts and crafts of places that we visited, etc.
Yes.
And to be honest, I don't think I had any adverse effect on me. I went into high school into top sets still.
You did.
I didn't feel left behind in comparison to anyone else when I...
Well, it certainly worked for you. Matthew, well done. I have to finish there. Thank you. What a trip, by the way. I mean, what a school for working with them. If we're talking about global affairs, we're talking about Australia there, what's happening in Beijing?
There are 9 million bicycles in Beijing.
Thanks, Katie. There's also one Prime Minister as well, Sir Keir Starmer, not just Katie, but anyway, Sir Keir Starmer there with, of course, these trade deals. But What do Chinese people make of it living back here in the UK? Well, Chinatown in London's West End attracts around 17.5 million visitors annually. It's a cultural hub for many of the 500,000 Chinese people or people of Chinese descent who live in this country. So what did they make of the PM's trip? LBC's Henry Riley set out to find out.
Originating from 1950s restaurants, London's bustling Chinatown is preparing to shed the year of the snake next month and bolt towards the Lunar New Year of the Fire Horse. And one of their best-known neighbours in Soho, the Prime Minister Keir Starmer, who also lives in Westminster, is hoping he can get a pole swing by heading to Beijing. And this West End area is distinctive. The pedestrianised streets are decorated with iconic red lanterns. There are restaurants, shops, stone lions. And what do the Chinese community here make of the first visit of a UK Prime Minister to the Red Dragon in 8 years?
It's now you don't UK with a UK passport, you can go into China for 30 days without a visa. So that's great news because I can tell you, I'm from Hong Kong. Going to China with a UK passport was very difficult and very costly because you have to pay for visas.
What do you think?
Do you think it's
a good idea that UK and China are talking?
It's a very good good start with the UK and China, the relationship between the relationship with our country. Trump for US, it's gave the UK and Europe very pressure.
Think it's a good idea?
Yeah, I think the most significant is like peace and love, you know. That will be the eternal topic for
peace and love.
Yeah. It surely be good like to be reconnected for two countries.
Yeah, maybe for the future it's very good start for us.
I don't think Xi Jinping's that interested. I don't think he's not going to benefit much, really. Okay. Get some deals, but I don't think nothing major.
And can I ask what you think?
I think it's good. Like anything that facilitate international trade is always a good news in my book. But at the same time, though, I feel like you're kind of ignoring the obvious allies in the area, which is the European Union.
But many within the community are apprehensive about speaking out, meaning it didn't all go to plan.
Can I ask you a question for LBC Radio?
I don't speak English.
Oh, that's fine. Okay, have a nice day. Can I ask you a question for LBC Radio? No?
Oh, okay. No, radio. Fine. Oh, no.
This is hard. I'm asking people questions for a radio station.
I'm not from radio station.
No? Okay.
No, I'm not from radio station.
Excuse me. Can I ask you a quick question for LBC Radio? No? Do you know Nick Ferrari? No? Me neither. You know our Prime Minister's in Beijing at the moment, Keir Starmer. We're just asking people what they think about...
Oh, okay, it's fine. Thank you.
No, you don't want to?
No.
Nearly. Excuse me. Didn't even acknowledge me. Must be a listener.
Henry Riley finally got the job done in Chinatown. And that's the job done for me today. If you missed any of today's show, listen back on our free Global Player app or the LBC app, where you can also stay up to date with all the latest news, videos and opinion. Download the official LBC app for free from your app store now. That's this week done. That's January done already. Next time we'll be talking is in February. But I'm done. James O'Brien's the other side of the news here on LBC. I'm with you Monday morning from 7. Meantime, have a safe weekend.
Thank you, Nick. Following on from Henry's intrepid reporting in London's fashionable Chinatown there, I wonder how many times I can get away with admitting to you that I don't know enough about something to have a very strong opinion. I'm aware of the hideous persecution of the Uyghur people, and obviously we have been campaigning tirelessly for the release of Jimmy Lai, which the Prime Minister has not secured, and I mean, I don't know how hard he tried, and arguably we never will, but it does seem to be something, given that Jimmy is a British citizen, that Keir Starmer could have prioritised a little higher before celebrating the fruits of his trip to Beijing. Why do we know so little about such an enormous place?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From
On Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, ministers are playing down Donald Trump's claim that it's dangerous for the UK to do business with China. Sir Keir Starmer's on the final day of his visit to the country, pushing for stronger economic ties. This understood Downing Street made Washington aware of the trip and its objectives in advance. The Shadow Home Office Minister Alicia Kearns has told LBC News Mr. Trump is right to speak out.
Over the last 18 months, we have seen the Chinese Communist Party support Putin and its renewed illegal invasion of Ukraine. We've seen them imprison and torture Jimmy Lai, a British national. They've conducted cyber attacks against our government and businesses. Yet rather than see a single repercussion for those activities, instead, Keir Starmer has gone to China and he's come back having not delivered any messages of deterrence.
A council says it found no evidence of higher rates of childhood cancer in a town in Northamptonshire. Families in Corby have been concerned about a potential link with historic waste dumping in the area. LBC's reporter Shivani Sharma has seen a report from the reform-led Northamptonshire Council.
The council has said its findings show there's no evidence that there are higher childhood cancer rates in Corby than in Northamptonshire or the East Midlands, and that these findings have been independently reviewed by health experts. The council has said this should provide reassurance, and it's thanked the families who have raised concerns.
Two army officers will face a court-martial over their conduct in the case of soldier Jaisley Beck. The 19-year-old was sexually assaulted, then took her own life at her barracks in Wiltshire in 2021. Reform UK has withdrawn its support for a council candidate accused of posting racist and anti-Semitic comments on social media. Mike Manning is standing in an upcoming by-election. He's apologised and says if he could withdraw his name from the ballot, he would. The Conservatives are calling for a bus driver to get his job back after he was sacked for chasing down a robber. Mark Heehere knocked the man out after a passenger's necklace was stolen in London in 2024. Police found that he used proportionate force, but the bus firm Metroline decided that he'd failed to protect customers. And millions of low-income families will continue to receive the Warm Home discount for the rest of the decade. The government's agreed to extend the £150 off energy bills every winter until 2031. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 15 at 10,186. The pound buys $1.37 and €1.15. LBC weather, cloudy for most with patchy rain and hill snow in the north. Heavy rain and strong winds for the south and west, a high of 11 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
That there is a great night's sleep. And when Susan wakes up, she's going to get to enjoy a delicious unlimited breakfast. Or, if that super comfy bed is just too hard to leave, Susan can enjoy a midday checkout. Get better sleep for your money. Book now at Premier Inn. Breakfast subject to availability. T's and C's apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
It is 3 minutes after 10, and you are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. It's actually extraordinary, isn't it, that he now infects, is the word I want. He infects absolutely everything. Feels like a different age, a different epoch, when people who weren't very well informed or very bright or possibly both would use Trump derangement syndrome as an insult or a pejorative because they hadn't grasped how completely depraved, morally bankrupt, politically corrupt he was. But even when the British Prime Minister visits China on a trip that is in the national interest in one way and morally repugnant in another, even when the British Prime Minister visits China, such is the nature of news that we perhaps inevitably end up leading the report of the story with a reference to what Donald Trump has said about it. You know, in those science fiction films, when humans are turned into mutants and the clever scientists finally get the DNA on the computer screen or something like that. And it's as if a sort of raspberry ripple effect starts running through our genetic makeup that explains the mutation. Whether it's sort of emanated from a meteorite that landed in the middle of a desert after jetting in from outer space. Whatever it is that is turning human beings mad. What is it in Day of the Triffids? Is it something in the sky? Don't at me. Well, you can at me, actually, but don't ring me. Do you know what I mean? And you finally get it up on the computer screen, and it's infecting every part of us. I watched the latest 28 Days Later film the other day. My God, that is such an extraordinary film. It really is. But it's about, no spoilers, I don't think, it's about zombies, and it's about the way in which, well, it's not about that, but all zombie films essentially have a central premise by which we become, technical term coming up, zombified. And it involves infection, infiltration of every corner of our being. And Donald Trump is doing that now. Donald Trump is the infection. And he is now reaching into, because of the power and the nature of his office as President of the United States, and because of the unique depravity of his character, he is now reaching into every aspect of our existence. It's absolutely insane. I said to you yesterday, and I stand by it today, I wasn't sure I would. I thought I might be enjoying a sort of first flush syndrome. It's incredibly liberating to let go of hope. It's incredibly liberating to stop thinking he'll come good in the end, or that normal circumstances will be resumed, or that this is a mayor. I think there's an actual piece in the Washington Post, more or less under the headline of America just doesn't do fascism. Please stop using that word. And you're like, you're so nearly there. You're so nearly there. We all thought America didn't do fascism, but it does, and it is. Hideous comments now about the murdered nurse, Alex Pretty, that Donald Trump has shared on social media. We may get onto that in a moment. They're not zombies. Paul is on form already this morning. They're not zombies, James. They are infected. Zombies have to be dead first. Did you know that, Keith? Did anybody else know? Is Paul right, even? I mean, is Paul providing us with fake news? I don't know. But anyway, they are infected. You're absolutely right. And it is every corner of the body politic, really, on both sides of the Atlantic and beyond, has now been infected by him. So he slags off Keir Starmer for visiting China, and he is visiting China himself in April. You can't make this stuff up. He has called Alex Pretty an insurrectionist, a possible insurrectionist, as if that were a bad thing, which it can't be, because actual insurrectionists got pardoned and praised by Donald Trump within 10 minutes of him getting back into the White House. And it speaks, perhaps, it's not often I put Donald Trump and our esteemed colleague Henry Riley in the same space, but it perhaps speaks also, what I'm about to ask you, to Henry's experiences in Chinatown, in this country, in this city indeed, in London a moment ago, that you heard on the End of Nick's show, where you wonder why you don't have a stronger opinion about things, and you realise that it's because you don't know enough. So, I mean, how else are you going to report Keir Starmer's visit to China except by saying Donald Trump has slagged it off? Newspapers are a little better, but they, of course, went to the presses before Donald Trump stuck his oar in. What would happen if we tried not to talk about him except when he does think, no, you can't do that, because he does what he... what he said he was going to do. All of the people who said, don't worry about what he says, focus on what he does, have gone incredibly quiet. Which reminds me, I think it's Dick Littlejohn Day again today, isn't it, in the Daily Mail? I have to wait and see what he's had to say about his absolute political hero, who he wishes was running this country, now that he is essentially libelling murdered nurses and encouraging goon squads and snatch squads on the streets of America. I can't wait to see what the top columnist in Britain's top newspaper has got to say about his former political hero, the sackcloth and ashes